This is the Roll Monkeys number 15, recorded on April 19th, 2007.
The Roll Monkeys!
On June 9th, Soldier Station in Iraq will be hosting a gaming convention called ZiggurotCon at an airbase in Baghdad. Unfortunately, they lack many of the basic supplies like books and dice that are needed to play any games or to give away as prizes at the con. In the interest of showing our support to these fellow gamers, the hosts of the Fear the Boot RPG podcast are raising money for kits that will each contain everything needed to play a single system, including core rule books, paper, pencils, character sheets, and dice. If you are interested in donating to this effort, you can send money electronically using the Make a Donation button at the top of feartheboot.com. Or, if you wish to send books or money via postal mail, send an email to dan@feartheboot.com asking for a mailing address. Rest assured, every single penny or book we collect will be used only to support ZiggurotCon. Thank you for your support and have a great day.
Okay, hello everybody, it's Mick Bradley. We are the Roll Monkeys. We're going to play Spirit of the Century. I cannot tell you how geeked and jazzed I am about this. I'm done. Everybody else can introduce themselves. And then Mark, since you're the host, why don't you introduce our special guest, GM.
Alright, we'll go around the table then.
Max Massey here. I'll be playing Sir Nathan Appleby.
Clay Crowan playing Townsend York.
I'm Chris, and I am, of course, playing the ever-sexy enigma of sexiness, Captain Joey Shea.
I'm Mark Kinney, and yes, I am indeed playing Stan Rocket. And GMing with us tonight is Mark Reed.
Our special guest monkey.
Yay!
Yes, I am here. Hopefully, we'll have fun and entertainment abound.
Club Groovy Gamers.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Don't you love it how he barks out the orders?
Yes, sir. It's already got the German thing flowing. But yes, I do host my own little podcasting corner over at Groovy Gamers, groovygamers.com. We discuss playing traditional RPGs online and play by forum and play by chat. So
cool. I rushed so much because Clay asked me to be quick that I didn't say anything about my character. So I'll be playing Dr. Victor Wolf.
A new centurion.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that. Could you repeat it, please?
Dr. Victor Wolf. Or Dr. Victor Wolf. Whichever.
I'm sure they didn't hear any difference at all.
For the record, all those out listening, and I know this is it doesn't work as it's somewhat akin to radio. Mick does put on a pair of glasses when he gets in the character for this
yes.
one. So
he's a method actor.
I'm LARPing! And proud of it.
That's okay.
Now, if you can sing in German, then
I might
I'll be
stand
impressed.
Up too.
Ooh.
And point at people.
For what it's worth, I probably will stand up.
All right.
That's how I GM. So. I GM
physical
better.
Challenge.
That's right. I am representing for Jeff and Caroline and Sasha and Jeff and Ithaca and all of those people out there who like LARPing. And since there's not a chance in a million that anybody from Fear the Boot is coming within a 3,000 miles of the Roll Monkeys podcast, I can say, okay, guys, we like LARPing, so ha!
Well, oh, Mick likes LARPing.
Oh, that's right. Haim is here.
All right.
Oh, I don't mind LARPing. It's just don't put me in a White Wolf game or you'll regret it.
Well, there you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Spirit of the Century. Mm-hmm. Take it away, Vegas.
Street Fighter, one of these.
All right. So, we're going to open up
with a word of prayer.
No. Not quite.
All right. Lord, bless thy
okay.
So it shall blow thy GM sanity to pieces.
I'm marking off my sanity points long. Anyway, okay. Here's the scene. Let me set the scene. You're on a plateau.
It is
a plateau. Mm-hmm. A mountainous plateau. You see an edge falling off into nothingness. There is a light fog at me. You are hunched down behind several crates in a makeshift landing spot. Guns are firing. Off in the distance, Archibald Prester is shaking his fist at you. As he is going, "You have fooled me again!" And as he takes off to escape, what do you do?
What country are we in?
Does it matter? if it really
matters, you are... It is in Tibet, in the Himalayas.
In Tibet.
Because this is the tail end of the Centurions at World's End.
I look at Nathan Apple. We have to buy that man a drink. He needs it.
Good Irish whiskey.
He's
plane or a zeppelin.
He's running, or he's sort of, away, like, I don't know, a couple 50 yards away, and you see a tether to a zeppelin, and it's not too high up there because you're off on the plateau, and he's trying to get to a rope ladder to make his grand escape, and he has three goons firing at you to cover his escape.
As close as he is to the Zeppelin, do we have any chance of reaching him?
Yes, you do, actually.
Okay, I take off after him.
Okay. Make it an athletics roll. Unless you didn't want to ask.
I get a net one.
Net one? Okay. What are you wanting to do?
Back. I was looking at the wrong stat. I get a net zero.
Net zero.
Yeah.
Okay.
A bit rocky up here.
Yes, you catch your footing and you're... You are able to close the distance because he's trying to get to a rope ladder to climb it, so he's not necessarily the most agile person on a rope ladder.
How far away are those three games?
Short range firing. I mean, they're. I might have been overstated when I said 50 yards. It's not a whole lot of distance between you guys and them. That's why they're covering fire. It's kind of a makeshift camp, sort of, where he's at. Mm-hmm. He was obviously up to no good. You guys foiled him.
Mm-hmm. Naturally.
Naturally. Yeah,
of course.
So I guess we're watching Appleby run off.
So you see Nathan Appleby stand up and go,
"Sir Nathan Appleby.
Sir Nathan Appleby. Excuse me, good sir." He says, "You have not escaped today." And he says, "It's a bit rocky."
"Well met, Sir Appleby. This sounds like a great idea." And I'm going to rush up and tackle one of the games.
Okay. I guess make an athletics roll.
That would be a four.
Four?
Positive four.
You barrel into one of the goons, one of the mooks, and you sort of charge past him. He's like...
No, I'm not trying to charge past.
Well, you see him sort of stand there, and his gun sort of shakes a little bit as you come out from behind the... Like, "All right." And he's like, "Uh-oh."
He's probably going, "Oh, no, not the incredible sexy enigma of sexiness, Captain Jerry Shade. We shall be defeated for sure."
He's like, "My God, the jacket!" And you tackle him and you drop into it.
Yeah.
"My God, the jacket."
And I just start tussling with him.
Yes. You tackle him.
Because I ain't no chicken.
No, of course not.
All right. I could have used that aspect. If I wanted to re-roll, if it was a bad roll. Yes.
I'm taking out the flashlight of Doom. Say something on the left. "I'll stop him." Point it in his direction. Flip my special switch for the universal gadget stuff. The improvement this time is the end will pop off and fly out, dragging a net behind it.
Okay.
Whoa.
Okay. I guess, what is it, athletics still? Or what?
I can pretty much define the improvements on the universal gadget.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, whatever you...
As far as the... basically shooting something at him. Guns?
Guns will work. I'm okay with most anything. Cool.
You're just glad to be here.
Hey, two.
Two. I would say that that yes, you would have, with the two, you'd hit him. I mean, you don't have him fully sort of encased, but he's like now tangled in a net in a rope ladder. And so the rope ladder is sort of still is more of a hindrance now than the net sort of made the rope ladder more of a hindrance. So he's kind of dangling with a leg in one side, like, "Son of a... my honor and all that other British stuff."
I don't remember him having one.
Like,
That's so probably literally what he said. My honor and all that other British stuff.
And so, yes, he hasn't. Well, let me check something right quick. I don't know. Does anybody have. Have you guys made up actually stats for him yet? Or is it just sort of.
Oh, Presser, yeah, yeah.
He's basically an evil version of me.
Okay.
Not precisely.
Plus,
but
he can turn into a spider and command spiders and does all kinds of.
Wacky oh, wow. The secret life.
Monkey Ranch, Vandermore, Cephalord.
You have an accordion case.
I'm sure. Villains.
They have an accordion case of all of them.
Well, I think it's just NPCs. But
well, that section is just NPCs.
Yeah, it's an accordion case of villains.
So I don't got
so
where to
that way he
go?
Can do the PC polka?
Sorry. The one guy that doesn't come in the case is
the one guy that you need.
Yes. What's his athletics skill?
Well, what's Appleby's athletics skill?
My athletics is average, plus one.
Average, plus one.
Statistically,
he's not hanging upside down. I just wanted to see.
Statistically, I mirrored his skills almost to the T.
So he's got 1 foot kind of through the ladder, and 1 foot sort of on the ladder, but he's sort of wrapped in it with the net. Mm. And he's like, ah! And that's where he's at, so...
All right.
I know I didn't roll it have initiative on this, but I figured you guys can go in whatever order. Yeah. You guys can go first.
We'll get you used to things, and then we'll have structure.
Yes. Yeah. We start with chaos and then build up.
So Prester's hanging from a Zeppelin over the chasm?
The Zeppelin is tethered there with a rope. But
oh, the Zeppelin is still tethered.
Yeah, the thinking
to something
is he'll cut it up there whenever he wants to get away. It's kind of...
So the Zeppelin's still tethered. He's climbing up, but he's hanging out over the chasm.
A little bit, yes.
Okay.
He's not dangling upside down at the moment.
This could be the shortest character ever.
Oh, no.
No.
Remember, this is pulp. Unless we find your body, you're not dead.
Well, right. Yeah, but...
No.
Problem is, me leaving the ground is not one of the things that I want to do. So...
It's like, I don't know, does your character have flight?
I don't want to ride in that contraption, and I don't want to climb a rope toward that contraption. They didn't have these things back where I came from.
Well, just remember, it's pretty much, you just got to have a positive number to succeed somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you have other things that can give you re-rolls or bonuses.
Sure. Stuff, so. All right, so... How many guys were shooting at us?
There are two now because
he tackled
Captain
one of
Joey
them.
Shade.
Yeah.
Okay. First thing I want to do is pick up one of these crates.
Okay.
And toss it at one of the other two guys. That's
okay.
Shooting.
I'd say yes.
Hello.
So four.
Yeah, you beamed him. You're like, oh! He was like. I'll give you Joey for knocking my
thump.
And so yeah, he's sort of down for the moment. Gun sort of.
What
off.
Did I just out of curiosity?
He's
what was the difficulty of that one?
Like a two.
Okay, so like I got two shifts. Can I declare that his gun fell out of his hand and went sliding?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay,
that was actually my idea as well.
So. Oh, okay, cool.
Let him GM. Come on now. He's getting used to the system. It's gonna
which
be
is why I brought it up.
The cleric perfectly fine. Okay. I hadn't said it yet.
No. Well, I mean, that's not technically a declaration.
No.
It just means with the two shifts I can do. Yeah. Okay.
All right, and so have you gone?
I have not gone.
Not gone, yes.
Was that heading towards the, what's that, the last gunman trying to be, is it, you know, in the most intimidating voices I can? No. This is the point where you guys surrender. What was that?
So an intimidate?
Intimidation.
All right.
Ooh. You're a bit chilled.
A one.
A one.
Yes.
Okay. What he does is. He sort of goes, you know, you start talking, so he turns on you, and he's got the gun out, and he looks to his left and right, and he sees his kind of comrades either being, you know,
pummeled
and pummeled to the ground, or buried in wood, and he sees his boss, dangling a little bit, and he goes, well, I wouldn't exactly go give up, but... And he turns and runs back towards...
This isn't surrender! I'm not surrendering!
I'm advancing to the rear! And so... You sort of intimidated... You at least showed him his situation, but he's like, I'm not really going to give up, but I'm not going to stick around. So... we've got a dangling with pressure. We got you're pummeling the guy. Mm-hmm. So, do you guys want to try to collect pressure?
Collect pressure.
Okay. He on pressure's go. You see him sort of working with the rope and the net, and he sort of dislodges. You see the net sort of fall. He hasn't sort of righted himself, but he's not. He's still sort of entangled, but he's better off than he was.
He's more tangled up in the ladder than the
right. The net, right. So he's sort of worked his way free, and so he can sort of start continuing on. He's like, get away.
About how far up the rope ladder has he gotten?
He's only about a quarter of the way up.
Okay.
I mean, he never really got started.
He
had to run.
Stan Ruckus.
Quick thinking,
net flashlight thing
of death.
Yeah,
of death. It's awesome. Ooh, that's new.
I'm going to keep moving towards Prester and draw the Fang of Garak as I run.
Okay.
And if I can, what I want to do is basically run up, jump up and grab the rope ladder, reach up and cut it above him.
Okay.
Wow. Ooh, that's my goal.
Two actions there. Okay.
Two actions. Let's see here. I'll say the jumping up is just a average. I mean, it'll just be... jumping up wouldn't be too hard to get there. Okay. So that would be an average. But swinging to cut it above him would be, a three.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to be too difficult. Still trying to gauge the system and stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so athletics to jump up?
Yeah.
And. Okay, won't be doing that this time.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry.
My athletics is one.
I get that.
Yeah, so I got a zero.
What about Johnny on the spot?
Does that work in this situation?
That's partially up to Mark, but it's also
Johnny on the spot means he's in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
If so, he can justify it, then... Mm-hmm.
Okay. A zero to me says he jumps. He doesn't stumble or anything, he jumps. Okay. And I could see how Johnny on the spot could allow you to make it to the right spot because it needs to happen now.
I do that.
All right.
And then cutting the rope would be a weapon roll, I think.
Yeah.
Seven.
Not
this time, Prester.
You get it so good that the rope actually cuts right above his hands, and he's like, "Cool." And you're able to just sort of
land lightly on my feet.
I'll give you like a slight intimidation. He's like, so. Now the rope ladder is, like this, is falling towards the edge. And he, let's see, that would be a negative one on his, so the rope falls, and he's near the edge. And I was rolling to see if he was able to hang onto the rope, and I rolled a negative one.
But you want to be dramatic.
I do want to be dramatic. So, here's what we see. The rope falls. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's kind of tangled in it. Mm-hmm. So it falls, and enough of the rope ladder is going to fall off the edge. Mm-hmm. And you notice that Archibald Presser is on that side. And you hear him scream. Okay. As the rope falls, you look over the edge.
Yeah,
of looking course. Over the edge, you see a dangling presser with one foot wrapped in a rope, banging a little bit against the side of the mountain. Hands flaying. You see he's got a little hat, doesn't he?
Oh yeah.
You see it sort of wafting and falling off into the mists of the deep chasm.
Okay, I don't want to take anyone else's turn, but I have a little dramatic thing I want to do.
Dude, basically, he's your nemesis. Go for it.
I slide the Fang of Garak back into the cane, sort of lean on it and lean over the edge. I say, Preston, you seem to have lost your derby.
He sees the look up. He shakes his fist.
What it is, I'm not talking about the Zeppelin is still tied.
The Zeppelin is still tethered.
And try to knock it loose or untie it so that it still goes floating away. We can't have the you know.
Fair, that's fine. You slice it, you see the sort of tether off. Mm-hmm. And so you have accomplished and have caught the villain in this adventure. And so we shift scenes. The adventure's over. You guys are back home, and the sort of at the charter house instead of the Century Club. And you each, when you come home, there's a letter waiting for each of you. And that letter is an invitation to the museum at Cairo for the unveiling of a wondrous stone that has recently been found. A ruby larger than a man's fist, known as the Heart of Osiris.
Cairo. I've been there.
I'll bet if you focus an intense light beam through this thing.
No.
Stan, your constant resolve always amazes me.
Another discovery. Oh, goody.
But there is... It's an invitation, and it begins... If you can travel however you want to, however, there's an invitation to ride the newest form of the trans-European train, which will take you into sort of that Middle Eastern area, and you can sort of go over.
I'd much rather fly.
On the other hand, I do believe they had trains when in Dr. Wolf's time. I don't believe they had aeroplanes.
I wonder if they'll store my car.
They will. And if nothing else, it can be filled with track trains and they can tow us.
Carry on. Yeah.
And they are happy to if you so wish to.
Of course I'm going.
Yeah.
Well, if my friends are taking a train, I suppose I'll tag along.
Okay. So...
No problem. No.
Okay.
One thing I was wondering about, though, that wasn't explained was the connection with Victor von Wolf.
Not von, just Wolf.
Oh, Victor Wolf and the characters. What's the...
Oh, yeah.
The story connection.
Well, as far as... I have... Applebee's the guy that pulled me out of my 80-year stasis.
I'd have frozen in a bit of crystal.
And so I was in an adventure with him, like, you know, 8 months ago. I've only been in this century for 8 months.
Oh, wow.
You're actually a centurion from the last
from
century.
From the last century who got frozen.
Just without all the experience because you screwed up and got frozen.
No, actually, I have more experience, actually, because I lived for 40 years before I got frozen.
So you did it on purpose?
No.
No?
It was accidental, and guess who helped?
You helped accidentally freeze him in crystal.
Mm-hmm. 80 years ago. So, I know Stan. I know Stan. But Stan has not met me.
80 years ago.
80 years ago, yet.
Oh, okay.
See,
I remember Stan, but Stan does not remember me from back then. He remembered, I mean, but... Yeah,
whereas back then, it would be, you wouldn't know who I was, but I'd be like, hey!
Exactly.
I heard a preview in crystal.
So I didn't set up any connections with Joey or with Townsend.
Okay.
As far as how we met before we went to Tibet, you know, I don't have any.
An unrecorded adventure.
Unrecorded adventure.
That's a story for another time.
But it probably helps.
The Century Club thought it would be funny.
Right? Yeah. it probably would be helpful for you guys to, especially for you guys not to know me very well yet, and quiet and reserved. And kind of bookish.
Of course, I'm quite right. Reserved. You're German.
Yes.
We're both German.
Now, back
you're German,
then, quite in reserve, but at this period of time.
German, yeah. German, but...
Well, that's one of my things, too, that I have as part of the character, is that...
German, that's an aspect?
Yes, son of sure. Germany.
Oh, so yes. You eat sauerkraut and you love to dance.
he can say that. His name is Heim. So.
Heim.
But anyway...
It's only the Smith of Germany.
Yeah.
Well, that would be Schmidt, but never mind.
Okay. Anyhow, yes, I I'm rather quiet and reserved, except I can get very overexcited about things like rubies the size of a man's fist in museums in Cairo and things like
so
that.
So you're very materialistic.
No, I'm an archaeologist.
Oh, okay. Well,
he gets excited
see,
about
that
knowledge.
Would be something that would be good for us to know, that you're an archaeologist.
Oh, see, I'm sorry. I thought everybody know did that, know it.
I think what he's saying is he gets very excited about knowledge.
And about and archaeology.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because he's an archaeologist.
What everybody knows is that I'm a famous archaeologist.
Okay.
Even the general public probably knows that I'm a man from the previous century who was unfrozen by Nathan Appleby, so that I'm 80 years out of my own time frame.
So we've been given a brief on you.
Yeah, but and as a matter of fact, like with the rest of us, even the public knows that.
Not common knowledge.
What nobody does know.
It's the crystal guy as he walks down the street.
Not quite clear what my role in the past stuff. Obviously,
yeah, we haven't worked through that. But
because, if everybody's smart, they won't actually tell Stan this.
See, not everyone gets on the forums and reads all of this.
No, only you don't get on the forums.
I have not mentioned to anyone that you were involved in any adventure in my previous lifetime. Okay. So that's still, I think, at the very least,
when he first met me, you might have shown some sign of recognition.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, what?
Yes, I did show an odd sign of recognition when I first met you here in this session.
I can even see you, when you go back and deal with him in the first place, telling him, when you meet me again, don't tell me. Don't give me any of this, I won't be able to do it.
if he has the opportunity. But anyway, we're like taking up time.
So anyways. Game,
speaking,
yes.
of, speaking of which.
I'm not heard of
all right. So. Don't shake your fist at me.
Thank you. I guess it was kind of valuable for that to be established.
Yeah. Anyway,
so moving forward slightly, after you guys have decided to accept the invitation to the train ride, you appear on the. You don't just appear, but you.
Next scene, you're on the.
Good scene, Rocket. That transported device works perfectly.
Screen white and back. You're on the platform of the train. Trains there, lots of smoke from the front end, and you know, sort of noises and clanks are going on.
So this is a new type of train.
It's a fairly
experimental,
new train.
Or
a little bit, yes. Okay. Something special that will help. You know, it's supposed to make the trip of Trans Europe faster.
So on the platform, you haven't gotten on the train.
Yes, you haven't got on the train. Lots of there are several people there, and everyone, give me an alertness roll.
I got a one.
Four.
Two. Four.
I think I have danger sense.
Well, it's not so much danger. It's
two.
Okay.
I'm just going to think if I can modify it so much I can.
Fair.
I'm going to start trying to use the words because I'm that way.
Great.
Awesome. You two definitely see. You sort of catch at the sort of your little. You all sort of catch it, but at different times. You notice there is a youngish-looking woman in a sort of Victorian-era high dress, very classy-looking, dark hair, and she is boarding the train, but she was looking in the general direction of U5. You two notice her first, that because she's looking at you guys like she recognizes, or there's some recognition of some kind from her to you guys.
I do notice her, because I am a sucker for a pretty face.
Exactly. You actually notice that when you look up, your eyes meet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's something familiar, but there's something familiar there, but you can't put your finger on it. You know you don't know her, but there's something about her that is like similar or familiar to you. You're like, I know.
Which would be very odd and jarring to me.
Mm-hmm. I tip my hat to her when I see her looking that way.
You see her flush just a little bit and nod as she boards the plane. Mm-hmm. Or train.
You probably don't notice the little black hairs that sprout up on the back of my neck for a few seconds and then they go away.
Like a spider.
Not like a spider.
Like a mongoose.
And as soon as he does that, I'm thinking, oh no, not this again.
Yeah, that was only the one time. We don't talk about that other time.
It looked like a great book. So you're dating a spider.
Yeah, I'll start talking about it.
She's only half spider.
So, the conductor's out there, and they're saying it's the train's about to leave. We get to like a board and show you a ticket. And you get on in the...
So, I'm sorry, were we like in Paris or something?
Sure.
Sure.
At the chapter... You said the chapter house, and I had to remember if it was like... But we're obviously on the continent because we're going to take a transcontinental
train. You came back from...
Well, it could be a very experimental train.
you're in
a shuttle several centuries ahead of... not centuries,
dimensional warp
channel.
Actually, if we're going across the continent to get around down to Egypt, I'm kind of hoping it's the Orient Express.
Ooh. It actually is the Orient Express.
It is! You've declared it, yes.
No, that was... I didn't want to just call it the Orient Express, but that was the basis of the sort of train thing.
Cool.
And so you notice that there's a lot of highbrow people getting on. Mm-hmm. There's some special cars that are put on, and you know the conductor and the platform people. I don't know all the technical names for all the train people, but they're calling for everyone to board.
The choo-choo guy.
Yeah,
the conductor.
The conductor and then
there's like a porter and stuff. They're all, you know, if you have any bags you need carried or helped with, they'll help you to your
purser. The Lido deck supervisor.
But one of the you do hear people talking about one of the newest things on this. There's an actual dining car attached to this, which is fairly new for the time. Which is what made the Orient Express
on the train.
Had dining cars.
Bloody marvelous.
Cool.
You can have food on a train. How odd. And so you're all sort of given to your quarters. You have, I don't know if anybody has any preference of bunking or how.
Okay.
They're not spacious because it's a train, but they seem very comfortable for, for, you know, you're like, wow, it's pretty high class. So at this point, Mick or Dr. Wolf, you step out of you're sort of looking out of your sort of quarters area, and you see this same woman sort of walk past. As you look up, it's not like she's standing there. I mean, but you see her as you turn and you're looking at kind of the window thing. You see like the back half of her sort of move past your window, and you get this sort of odd familiar sense still.
Because it's creepy music as she walks by, or
not creepy music.
Okay, just
and not like, you know, heart swelling music. Yeah. But there's something
intriguing music.
Intriguing, yes. Yeah, so
I hope she doesn't have a theremin following her around.
A theremin, another.
Jeez. There's a small, shortly followed by a small string quartet.
It's better than a minstrel.
So she walks by and the intriguing music plays.
Yeah, she's headed, and you know that the direction she's headed is the dining car.
Well, that's a hook, gentlemen. And I just met a game. Oh, slap me!
Hey. Well, we can get into my opinions on metagame. Sometimes it's good.
Get in character, Bradley. Suddenly the idea of trying out the dining car seems like a very appealing prospect.
Because I was going to use your sucker for
a I should have waited. I'll take that.
I'll pick it up for you anyway. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cause I was,
and you
I
do
was,
it without hesitation. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I think I'm going. Hungry.
Hungry like the
wolf.
Yeah.
God. That's my number one aspect.
Hungry like the wolf. It is.
Oh my god, it is.
That's the music. It's Duran Duran.
It's his music, it's Duran Duran.
No, we didn't say creepy, eerie music.
As long as her name isn't Rhea, we'll be fine.
Yeah. Or she better not dance on the sand.
Woo boy!
Okay. No, no, we will be in Cairo.
No, right. Right, theme music is something we should talk about sometime.
Yeah.
Oh. That could be a house mechanic that we add to our fate game.
What, band punch?
Theme music is an aspect that we can put on a scene or on our characters. Wouldn't that be cool? Theme music?
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, I have
every good hero should have some.
And if there's anyone who needs theme music, it's Captain Joey Shades. A little more dramatic than that.
Do the other four of you wish to go explore or do anything at this point?
Well, this is a unique ground vehicle.
So I have no interest whatsoever. It does not enter the clouds at all.
It hit wings.
Oh, that's what I'm observing. I'm going, this would be great in the skies. If only there were a way.
Like a zeppelin?
No, my dear.
I'm not here.
So
it was metagaming again.
You mean like a Zeppelin?
No, Mr. Rocket. Those are very slow and cumbersome. This would shoot off like a breeze on the wind.
Oh, like those things that Coanda guy in Austria-Hungary came up with about 12 years ago.
Ah, yes, I remember that article. Similar, yes.
It'll take him a few years for that, I think.
Intriguing.
And moving on?
Yeah.
You two have...
I'm guessing
Rocket and I
are going to be in the
orange, because we're going to be talking about the train.
Is there like a bar car separate from the dining car?
There is a couple dining cars, and there's one, and it's sort of all together, but right. There's... You can go into one, and it's like tables and stuff. You go to another, it's kind of a little more open with a bar and stuff.
Since it's the Orient Express, I know really nothing about that thing.
I'm making it up.
Does it have like an Asian-style buffet, or is it just whatever...
No, it's local cuisine.
Okay, local
it's simply,
cuisine.
It's simply called the Orient Express because it goes from Europe
to the
Orient.
Yeah.
Or sort of the entrance to the Orient.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if it had sort of that type of, I don't know, like vacation visitor type.
No, it usually they usually have rotating chefs from the countries I go to.
Okay,
it's
cool.
It's local cuisine. And
so you probably also have a chef from Cairo since it's stopping in Cairo.
Well, it will when it gets to that sort of area.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll go to the Morwasad bar style cart.
Okay. There's some people in there milling about, and mostly highbrow rich people. Because, I mean, the front end of the train is all, you know, mostly. You do notice there's a couple people who are of royalty. They're not like kings and queens yet, but they're, you know, second cousins and things of that. Okay. So there's some
fourth cousin removed. Yeah.
I'm in there. I'm in there hobnobbing with the aristocracy.
Okay.
It's what I do.
It's what
you do. That's
yes.
True. You are
You're
British.
Right at home.
Right. Ah, my people.
You know, a lot of British people listen to this show.
Really? Because I wish they'd tell us that.
I have no idea. But we'll go back to Dr. Vuz. As he enters, he sees the young lady sitting. Her back is to the door. She is sitting at a table. And it seems she is waiting, and you know, you see a sort of a waiter walking off.
I see. Well, I will approach her, and right. Go ahead.
Do you guys go to the? Are you going to the back of the?
I guess we're slowly making our way to the back. We're just checking out the train because it's spiffy.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just trying to get an idea where people are in general. Direction.
We're probably about how long is the train? How many?
I don't know. We'll say like.
Where are we located when it hits the train?
20-30 cars.
Oh, okay, so we're probably like a good 3 cars away. Making our way to that.
Okay. Because it goes engine, sort of mechanical, kitchen, dining, people, storage, kind of stuff. So, all right. So you're kind of here, headed backwards. You're kind of you've actually moved. You're actually ahead of Dr. Wolf in the car, right in front of where he is. And we go back to Dr. Wolf for a moment.
I'm going to approach the woman. And haltingly ask, "May I join you?"
She sort of stops, like she was doing something, but she wasn't doing anything. Mm-hmm. But she stops. She looks up at you. She says, "Please."
She's plotting your demise.
Oh, you know it. And I'm reeling.
There are other people in the dining room enjoying. The dining car is actually quite full. You guys noticed that. That's why, probably why you went to the bar and why more of the royalty people and more of the richer people are up at the bar area, because it's not as full. It seems that there are several people having steak dinners and some nice food going on. So, but she's like, please.
Well, before I sit, I will bow to her and then offer my hand thusly.
For one. Oh, you want to put her...
Yeah.
Sort of
she takes. Does she?
Yeah, she'll put her hand.
Okay, so she puts her hand in my, and I bend down and kiss it, and I introduce.
And you're poisoned.
You're madly in love with her.
Yeah. Oh god.
I am. I'm Victor Wolf. Pleased to make your acquaintance.
She says,
"At your service, Victor Wolf. At your service."
She says, "That is wonderful to know, my good sir." He goes, "My name is Lily Bassett."
Lily Bassett.
Yes,
she's a beautiful name.
She speaks kind of with a. It sounds like she's from the
Middle East, that holy Egypt area.
Oh, really?
That Egyptian, I don't want to say Egyptian accent, but sort of that.
North African
sort of.
Does she look Arabic?
A little bit, but not so much. I mean, she's a little paler than you would think, but the hair sort of matches the color. She's got the dark eyes.
Oh.
And so she's like, please, sit to it, sir.
The British have been busy again.
We always are.
Well, I mean, you know, they are. They just ceded control of Egypt. So, they did.
I'm not touching that.
I'm just saying. Sounds like a British guy married an Egyptian woman or vice versa. Who knows?
So, but. yes. And I'm the one being reserved this time. So, I sit down.
Is there a menu on the table?
Yes, there's a small menu.
All right, well, I start to look at the menu.
And you see, like, you know...
mashed potatoes.
you see, you know, just general, you know, steak and you know, lobster. Some of the more Arab specific. I'm trying to think 80 years ago.
Mark.
There's
some standard things, but it has a very French flavor because you're leaving Paris. And so this current menu is more of a, so you see a French flavored kind of cuisine. Escargot and
escargot.
But you said steak?
There is a steak.
So when the waiter comes.
And he comes back with a, and when he returns with a, like a wine glass for Lily,
mm-hmm.
and he sets it down, and then he's like, "Yes, sir."
I believe I would like the steak, please.
So, how would you like that?
Extremely rare.
Extremely rare.
Still mooey.
We shall lightly touch it to the stove for you, sir.
Flame kissed.
That is all.
And a decanter of Chianti to go with it, please.
Yes, sir. It's a good choice. I went here.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. So he kind of meanders off, quickly meanders off as he has an order to fulfill that.
Grumbling.
And you see him stop at a couple of places. And Lily sits across with you. She's got a nice white wine in her wine glass. And she's like, kind of looking to you because
you're the one who sat down there, fool. Unless you're just going to be a stalker and just stare at her.
I think I might.
He's got this predatory stare.
No, not a predatory stare. Go ahead.
He's hungry like the wolf. Sorry.
Yes. How may I help you, Mr. Wolf?
Well, forgive me. I noticed... sort of an air of Arabi about you. And I was curious about this, your homeland.
She says, I am from northern Egypt, but things and a departed husband have brought me here.
Oh.
So I am headed back.
So your destination is Cairo?
Not my final destination, but the final one for this trip.
Ah, I see. I am here with invitation to observe, what was the name? Cairo Museum of what?
The Museum of Cairo. The
Museum of Cairo. An invitation from the Museum of Cairo to observe a new gem that they have uncovered.
I had heard as much, not the invitation, but the uncovering of the gem. It's not, as I am from Egypt, I hear, when I hear things brought up, I tend to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people forget I'm in the room.
Okay, Oops. this might throw you off, but think about it for a second. Does she smell like she's telling the truth in terms of, being... She hasn't been in Cairo for a while, though, so...
What are you trying to...
You're trying to pick up her scent to see if she's actually from that...
I'm trying to say... forgive me for using this kind of terminology, but does she smell exotic and spicy, or does she smell European and refined?
Bland and European, is what I'm saying.
The over-scent is European, but it's because
you kind of expect that too because she's
right in Paris. Exactly.
But you do get an underlying sort of not European sort of feeling in this sense.
I know this is a little bit maybe silly, but I'm just saying that, you know, with the heightened sense of this is the way that I would read a lot of people.
Right.
So
she is, when she says she's from Egypt and she,
her story and the way she smells tracks. In other words, there's not a discrepancy. Like, I can tell that 2 weeks ago she was actually in Istanbul.
No.
Okay.
No. She.
Hey, it's pulp, and
she had curry for dinner.
No, she. She. You can tell she's been in Europe for a while.
Okay, that's really all I was getting at. Sorry it took so long.
There's an underlying intelligence. Yeah, I am probably going to have to take a short break and answer this.
Okay.
Well, we didn't take long to start, so
that should be fine.
You know, I'm surprised that you didn't say that you were Dr. Victor Wolf. Most doctors, you know, tout that aspect like mad.
I do when it is appropriate.
I see.
A flashlight of doom.
When,
did you call it that before?
No, that's why I called it at the very start.
I do think when you did that, Brock, I went, ooh, cool, that's good.
Yeah, I was actually quite intentional about not saying doctor in this case.
See, I was curious about that.
No, I thought about it. No, I don't want to say doctor.
I'm Dr. Victor Wolf. I'd like to check you out. Now open up and say, ah.
The flashlight thing was, I wanted to say something, and just the moment kind of passed. I was like, very impressive.
Okay. He had the better. I was thinking, we're going to have our talk now.
You know what I mentioned, the whole beam of light thing? I was really trying to make a like Ruby Laser reference, not a reference to the one thing. But that seems to be what you came up with.
I thought you were talking about the one thing, too.
I actually was thinking laser, so kind of.
I apologize for that.
Sorry.
That's
okay. Max has left temporarily, but he will be back.
He's hobnobbing with the Roy.
Yeah.
There you go.
So back to where we were.
Okay.
There is truth to what she's saying that you can tell in her sense. She's not trying to say I'm from Egypt, but really from Scotland.
Good. Exactly. So where she says she's been and where she says she's from tracks with the, that's what I was getting at. I'm sorry it took such a circuitous time I've used these things.
In a big word like that?
Circuitous, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's okay. It's the first time I've used aspects. So,
just out of curiosity, is the silverware silver?
Yes, it is, actually.
Do you actually pick it up, or do you hesitate?
Well, I'm very hesitant to pick it up, but at the same time, I have to...
You are a doctor. Aren't you wearing gloves, Gutmann?
No.
That's right, you're German.
I have to...
I don't know. Mick's been slinging them left and right. I have to catch up somehow.
So I have to play. There has to be this underlying thing of me coming up with clever ways to touch this stuff as little as possible. I mean, the way I envision it, it doesn't like burn my hand.
No,
but
at least not right away.
Right.
Is it sort of like a tingly electric shock type sensation?
Yes.
Okay.
And just a kind of a general discomfort. Okay. In terms of the actual game mechanics of it, I was trying to figure out a way where if someone injured me with that, I would not get the benefit of the fast healing stunt.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It would be like regular damage.
It doesn't. Well, the way I look at it is that to pick it up and hold it, you it doesn't like sizzle. But you know, after you know, your hand would go. Kind
oh of yeah, yeah.
It's sort of like a mild allergic reaction.
Sort of like you break out maybe break out eyes a little bit. Something. You know,
but I can do
no
it.
No Benadryl in this era, so yeah.
And because I want to be a gentleman, I do it.
Right, but you sort of...
But
there is Coca-Cola.
There is.
Well, that's good to know. I'm very ginger with the silverware when the food comes. Yes.
Okay, so she's still sort of, you know, and she's finished.
So we're having a pleasant conversation.
Yes, and the food comes out.
I'm sure by now...
You guys have
Rock and I have made our way to the main dining car. I'm sure that the bar is probably closer towards the engine because there's more people in the
dining car. Yes.
Yeah.
So you guys sort of walk back and forth and you get to the dining car. Mm-hmm. So
I've made pleasant I've made pleasant conversation with her and have not pressed her for any other interesting details or anything like
that. Where are you from? What are you doing?
Exactly.
So
Believe it or not, a little bit quiet and reserved, but as pleasant as I can. Yeah.
Okay, so you will see his way she's sitting. These two enter
come
the dining
in. Okay.
And so this is where we'll pick up. You two enter the dining car. Okay. Those two off having fun. We'll get to you guys in a bit.
Having fun.
I agree.
Ah, Dr. Wolf.
Captain Shade. It's good to see you again, sir.
Likewise.
You know, this is something. What's the opinion? You said that she lost her husband?
Yes. That's what you said.
No, it's not going where you think it's going. I'm wondering if a person in the early 1800s, what's the etiquette? If a person's been married, if she's a widow, do you still call her Mrs.? Or is she Miss?
She's Mrs. because she still has her husband's name.
All right.
I believe.
So, this is Mrs.
I'm not speaking from any
Bassett,
real knowledge.
Yeah.
This is just
if
my
anyone
guess.
Out there listening would like to clarify that for us.
If you know, let us know. Yeah.
In the meantime, it's good enough.
Yes. We'll roll with it. Because we're the roll monkey.
Captain Shade, Dr. Rocket, you are a doctor, aren't you?
Well, technically, no.
Oh. Well, he's a doctor of machines.
The big man in
big man? He's a Captain Shade, big man in gadgetry rocket. This is Mrs. Bassett.
A pleasure, miss.
He says, it's good to see you, I suppose. I mean no disrespect.
Ouch.
Two of my peers from the Century Club.
Very good, very good.
Had you ever mentioned that to her, did you?
I just did.
I recognize you from that call.
We're not secret agents.
I know, but it's not a well-known fact.
I thought it was.
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's sort of like a lowbrow celebrity type thing.
Most people know the Century Club exists,
yeah,
but they
don't
really know anything about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So she sort of nods to you, too. Would you care to join us for dinner, I suppose?
Yes, please join us.
Yes,
sure.
Of course, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
So, it's a four-seat table, so she sort of...
Does Joey sit down next to her? Joey's going to sit down next to her because I'm going to compel his ass back.
It would probably be cock of the walk. That would be the only one because the stunt is ladies' man.
Yes.
So, all right. Very well. I hope you don't mind this, as there are only four seats. If I sit next to you.
She sort of smiles. Please.
Captain Shade is an American pilot who flies in the winged contraptions.
Oh, yes.
Yes, we like to call them planes, Dr. Wolf.
She said, those...
Yes, that's right. Aeroplanes.
I have seen those. I don't trust those.
I will drink to that.
Don't know what you're missing out on.
If man is meant to fly, we wouldn't have had to invent something to make us do it.
I shall have to... take you up someday and show you the skies. It's a wonderful feeling. The clouds, the birds.
She says,
it's quite a freedom.
She says, perhaps. And so right about this time, the train lurches. You feel it sort of...
Well, of course
it does.
And this is why I like planes better than trains.
It doesn't stop, but it sort of jerks, and then you feel the train accelerate.
No. I do hope they know what they're doing.
Mr. Rocket, is
everyone
this
make an
typical?
Alertness roll.
Good!
One. Two.
Oh, I'm sorry, average.
Fair.
Good. Okay, those who did fair hear a light thumping on the roof of your cars. You like it?
Drill noise or something. Like
that. Getting held out again.
Yet.
What are you feeling? We're having guests, and not the good
something
ones.
On the roof of this car.
Is that a terror hound on
the roof? I suppose we should greet our guests.
You should.
That's what I'm.
It would only be proper.
It would be
stability check.
So.
Crap. Well, I have a good report.
Johnson and I have decided we're having guests, so it would be only proper of us as good British hosts to go greet our guests.
So what is it you wish to do?
I expect each of us said we'll take a door to the car, expecting that someone's going to be coming through.
Yes.
One said,
after they've come off of the roof, you go through the door. Just kind of, you know, almost waiting in ambush, letting them in.
Okay. What about the three of you? What do you do?
I'm going to turn to Stan Rocket. Mr. Rocket, is this typical of a train? I don't ride on them frequently.
Well, I'm not sure it should keep accelerating.
Yes, it's accelerating. You can see the landscape. It's going fast.
Looking out the window and seeing how fast we're going, I guess.
Okay.
I should perhaps see if they'll let me have a talk with the engineer. Pardon me, please.
I believe I will go with you. Excuse me, ma'am.
When you two go to the door, mm-hmm. when you two stand up, four windows explode inward as you see four figures kind of sort of leap in. And this happens in your car and the dining car.
So both of the food cars?
Yes, both of the food cars. You don't know, it might happen be happening in other parts of the train.
Ah, okay.
You don't know. This is what.
So it's four in each one, or is it two in each one?
There's four in each one.
Okay. Right?
But these are goons, of course. there's panic. As soon as this happens, people are rushing. They're like, oh, no. And so they press against the doors, mm-hmm. You know, trying to get out. You two stand. Actually, you guys kind of are out in the middle of the walkway about sort of a couple steps up. Mm-hmm. When this happens and people start moving and panicking, and you see Lily reach out and grab your arm to grab your attention, and she says, "It's not all as it seems." As a crowd of people push past you and sort of push her, not in a bad way.
She sort of carried,
but
on
she
with
sort
the
of
crowd.
Carried along with the crowd. People, to, and they're leaving to more safety.
It's not all as it seems. Okay.
I'm shoving my way to a clear spot where okay. I can see the people who just burst in the windows.
Okay. The bar car isn't as bad as the dining car.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But what is happening, at least where you are, are you on the front or back end? Are you closer to the engine or closer to the dining car? Which one of you is where?
Engine.
You're okay with it?
Yeah.
Okay. There are people pushing past you towards the dinner car, or not dinner car, but the, more the kitchen, trying to get out of this. You're getting it from both sides, because you're pushing past people, but there is a group of people trying to push in, not knowing that there's other people.
Right.
So there's this mass sort of, as people like...
There's this sardine effect.
Yeah.
A panic sardine effect.
Exactly. The train is a little wider than you would think, mm-hmm. so there is a little more room to maneuver, but people have filled it up pretty good. So you're going to try to move past it. It shouldn't, you know, really take much, because most of those people have gotten past you. So you see four guys. They have what look like handguns out. They've kind of got a bandana type thing over their face.
As soon as I can see them clearly, I shout out, "Drop your weapons and surrender!" I don't expect them to do it, but that's what Nathan would do.
Typical British dandy.
You see, they do sort of pause for a second. They're like, as two of them turn and you know, fire in your general direction. They don't seem to care about injuring civilians. I mean, it's it's odd what's going on, but so I guess we all need an initiative roll. How do we do initiative?
It's alertness.
One.
Good.
Average.
Or, yeah, average. Or good, rather.
Yeah.
No, average one is average. One. That's right, one. Yeah. Duh, one. Average.
Okay.
I got great.
Great.
I got great.
Great.
I got good.
Good. You've got average and average? Okay, they go on fair. So we'll start with the greats.
Right.
You're kind of getting pushed on both sides. There's
right.
four people in there.
Yeah.
You see two of them have turned to face Nathan. The other two seem to be, well, literally trying to rob the place. They're right. scooping in what looks like the silverware and different things.
All right. Was it,
I'm sure that Dr. Wolf is
was it,
very grateful.
All was it,
stick all the silverware.
Was it, was it, all invoked was it, attention must be paid to try to, you know, kind of, you know, give people attention to let me through, back through.
And I'll also was sitting, you know, okay. Through the crowd. And was, I'll also was sitting, I don't think I said, draw it up my coat of Billy Club.
Okay, so, yeah. You're able to, I wouldn't say calm people down, but using your ability, you're able to sort of get people to move out of your way. Because you're like, I'm going to handle this. And they're like, okay.
I need to get through here.
So, yeah, that helps you get through without a problem. So you're now sort of on the back end of the mass people. You're clear. You're free. Mm-hmm. You see the people. They're now looking. Two of them are now looking at you specifically because of your invoked aspect. Because you made it known. I'm going there. They're like, okay.
Yeah.
They kind of. You see them reach for like a billy club kind of thing.
All right.
Great, Dr. Wolf. Dr. Wolf, you are great this time.
You gentlemen will soon discover that you have chosen the wrong train to rob.
One of them looks at you and just says, no, I believe we have the right train.
Just what we need, smart ass.
We're having a train of PCs on it. Cool.
What? PCs? No! Hold on, it's not in my contract to be.
I'm a not named goon.
what do you do?
I shrug. I pick up a silver butter knife.
Okay.
And I fling it at one of the guy's gun hand.
Okay. That would be...
Wow.
It's a pretty that's difficult a
gun hand. That would be a weapons roll?
Yeah.
The weapons work?
That's what I was assuming. I mean, you could judge it some other way, but I think it's a weapons roll. Let's see. Good.
Good. Well, three works for me as well, so I'm still learning the wording system as well. So three good would work perfectly for me. Okay, well...
Probably not enough to shift it. So.
No, and only because it's silver.
Yeah.
I would say that's...
That's a good point.
That I would pick up the silver and he flung it, but you did it kind of...
Does that go a little sooner than
you did?
You're like, instead of being able to, like... throw it, you like picked it up and just tossed it.
An exceptional point, yes.
And so it kind of runs, it clatters against the gun, but it just sort of hits the gun and he's like...
That was very stupid.
I did get the right trade.
I'm just imagining yelling out, we're throwing butter knives at us!
And so...
Whatever the 1922 word for geek is, I think he's like, oh boy, look what we got. A butter knife throwing geek.
He's like,
all we need now is a bag of money.
He says, we got a hero. And did anybody have good?
Good.
All right, what would you want to do before these guys react?
The nearest guy, I'm going to give him my best glare and tell him, surrender in the name of Great Britain. And I whip out the finger of Karak and smack the gun out of his hand.
Okay.
And that gives me a 4 great, and I can invoke an aspect. Actually, I will. I'm invoking British Dandy.
Okay.
Because I look like this little prissy aristocrat, and then wham!
Right. Okay. As for what, the plus 2?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that gives me a 6.
All right. You know, you say, surrender in the name of Great Britain. He's like, but we're in front. And you pop it up. The gun sort of flings out of his hand. He's like, what? You know?
Oh,
he's like,
I just stand there with the sword leveled at him.
And so he's kind of, you know, he's sort of off. All right, so you got through. You guys go on average. So it's their go. The guy with the gun who had it out in Dr. Wolf is going to take a pot shot at you.
Because you tried to hit him with a butter knife.
He threw a butter knife at him. And, he fires, and you're like, but the train hit a little bump, so the bullet sort of whizzes past you.
Probably hit somebody else.
Wolf in geek's clothing. Just to establish that, in fact, I did not flinch or move a muscle when the bullet whizzed past me.
He stands stoically.
He stands there. Like, he shoots at me.
Bang!
And I'm just like, ding.
The other three were sort of
gathering up, and they were starting to gather people at the front of the thing because, you know.
Oh, so not all of the.
There's only one that really
bystanders got out of the car because there's such oppressive people.
The ones on behind you did.
Did, okay.
The ones in front of you haven't because they met in the middle.
Right, right.
So there is about 10 people that are. You know,
now, Lily was in the group that went back that
Lily
way.
Lily got stuck, okay. And she stood up to touch you, and people rushed and pushed her past.
Right.
The guys with the billy club, mm-hmm. they're gonna come in and swing in a little bit.
Right.
And you are, let's see here, you're able to sort of hold your own and fight them off. They come in and start swinging a little bit. You're just sort of like, ha, because I am British. And they aren't able to touch you. And so we come to you two, the fair this round.
Okay.
Now we're average.
Average, yeah. My bad. We just finished the fair.
You finished in the fair?
We finished the fair. Because okay. The other... Because... One guy, there's the one guy's not doing anything because he's now got a sword near his throat. the other guy in there was collecting stuff, and then the one guy at the billy club came after you. Right. In the other car, it's similar to that, except for one guy is sort of hurting the 10 people together because they're gearing up for this. The other guy was attacking Victor Wolf. And
that leaves how many guys for these guys? Two other guys?
There's three other guys.
Three and ours.
Right, but there's one guy here.
There's one focused
three
on me and
here.
Two others.
So one focused on me and
you guys
others.
Are. You guys are here at the back end of the car with Dr. Wolf standing in front of you two just because you haven't gone. There's one guy here who had who fired at Dr. Wolf, and then the other three are behind him either scooping in what appears to be silverware or, you know, going and threatening the people at the front of the car. And then that's what's happening in there. So it's your guys' go.
Okay.
They're doing that. They did their action, which is not attacking because they're focused on other things at the moment,
okay.
Thinking they got a guy with a gun back.
Okay.
Okay. So, since I've used it earlier in the session, at least the one improvement I have to see on it, the flashlight of Doom comes out.
Yay!
Oh no, he's got a flashlight.
Butter knives and flashlights.
Is this like paying enough attention to him right now that I could get past him and confront the other three?
Yes, because he just fired, and he's sort of looking kind of weird because he missed him, and Dr. Wolf is standing there stoically like...
Stoically, after
stoically like, you shot
you
at me.
Butter knife.
How dare you shoot at me? So yeah, you
okay,
could
okay,
get past him.
I'm going to make my way to the closest of the three in the back. And they're somewhat busy with gathering stuff
right.
up and that.
Huh?
Granted, that's going to be weapons, which kind of sucks compared to everything else, but I'll go with it. And I think being two-fisted,
yes.
Really, and fighting and all that, I'm going to re-roll that.
Two-fisted.
Oh. And I got the exact same roll.
No.
All right, so that would be
mediocre. Which is what, zero? Now, you could use Cludging a Solution. Or
I could use ex-military, possibly.
Ex-military,
fighting.
Yes.
Sure, I'll go ahead and try this one more time with the re-roll. If this doesn't work, then...
We can make it work.
No, it won't. But this time it's average.
Average. So you hit him. And, I mean, you hit him pretty decently. I mean, you catch him by surprise because he's not expecting, you know... He's like, what do you want? and his head sort of rocks back and he's not out.
Yeah.
But you can see that he's...
Stunned.
Stunned a little bit. And he's like, huh? What?
You hit me with a flashlight.
What? And so it is now Captain Joey Shade.
You know, sir, bringing a gun to a butter knife fight isn't very sporty. And I'm going to attempt to punch him. American style.
The guy that shot it? Dr.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the rest of them are just thieves. This one...
Bringing a gun to a butter knife fight.
<It's sporty. laughs>
And I get a 5.
A 5.
Clock.
You clock you pretty good.
Yes, that is a plus whatever. What did
shifts?
You say? Yeah,
seven
shift. Whatever a 5 gives me.
Was it plus 3?
Yeah.
Plus 3?
Oh, okay. You probably punch him and the gun falls out of his hand, flies in the air, and you get you.
3, 4, I mean, you clock him pretty good, and he's, you know, his head sort of rolls, and he's sort of, I mean, he's, you hit him. Here's what happens. You hit him. You come around with a nice haymaker. His head rocks back. His gun hand sort of flies back. And he literally sits down. He falls backwards and stumbles, and he sits in a chair. And he's sort of like... And he's like, huh? And so
I'm guessing with that raise I can disarm him.
If you want to, yes.
I will.
Okay, so...
If you want to make it a little more challenging for yourself, then you can...
Then I could take out a butter knife and...
There you go.
He drops his gun and... And he's now seated like you have dinner.
With a gun on him.
With a gun sort of on the table. And he's like, huh?
And falls onto the table like this.
And so, then we roll initiative again? Or everybody's going?
Or do we keep the same or what?
I can't remember.
I think by the book we re-roll every time, but the way we were doing it, we were keeping the same just to
make
simplify.
It easier.
GM preference.
It's fine
GM.
If we keep it same. That works for me.
Right.
It's always easier.
Mm-hmm. So that means just right. You guys are probably the ones that want to re-roll.
Oh, yeah. True.
All right. Townsend!
All right. So I've got the what's that, do I have one attacking me, or is he just...
Yes, there's one attacking, but I rolled poorly, and
right.
So he has yet to really prove to be a trouble right. For the British kids. So.
You think right. He's attacking you, but you're not
yes.
Sure.
He's acting like he's attacking me.
You're using your the fact that makes you British to ignore him at the moment.
Ah.
It's not working.
What's it? So we have the one that's dancing. I don't know what he's doing. What are the other two doing? That
they have been, you know, sort of going through stuff and making just a mess and causing havoc. So what's what you wish to do?
What's that?
And you see one like up at the front,
right? What's that?
You don't know why, but you just see him sort of doing this.
You just hear me bellowing from up there a minute ago.
Was it? The character's better at talking. What's that? Again, what's that? We'll go with what's that? Intimidation. Basically heading towards the two that are. It's like a what's that? Kind of a stop. You're basically not going to get the stuff off the train.
Okay.
Was it hitting things with a billy club as he's walking up just to make noise? Was it dad to the
okay?
The
At this moment, I will say it's not going to be it's going to be probably like at least a good attempt, simply because they sort of have you outnumbered still, and so it's just not. You have to be really. I'd say you have to be good at
right.
That.
It's 2-1, but remember we're both British.
I know this.
What's that?
That's why it's not a great attempt.
Right. What's that?
I mean, they think they're out. You're outnumbered, but they don't know.
They're wrong.
They're obviously not British.
No, they're not. There's not any sort of...
It's a wash.
It's a wash. Which puts it at 4.
Which...
Is great.
Yes, which would be good enough for
right.
What I said.
It is what you do.
It's what I do. I talk to people.
You tell... So you say... You might as well stop. You're not going to get off the train with that stuff.
Yeah.
So you see them sort of. They sort of stop. They look at it. They sort of look around. They drop the stuff and they pull out billy clubs because they've come to the understanding that they're not going to get off the train
right.
With this stuff with you here.
All right. That's fine.
So then we go to the great Dr. Wolf.
All right.
Now the guy immediately in front of you with the gun is seated.
Seated now.
Ready for dinner.
Yeah. So this is what we're going to do. First of all, I walk up and I say, "Excuse me, Captain," and I sit down at the table opposite the guy, right?
Okay.
Okay. And my right hand goes under the table, and I pull off the glasses and I look at the guy,
mm-hmm.
And I say, "So, was this harebrained scheme your idea, or are you working for someone?" And as I do that... Well, the first thing I get to do, we'll see if it gets it. I should probably make an intimidation roll there. But I can smell his fear. But why spend the point? Well, I'm going to get the plus two no matter what the roll is. So
plus two.
That's four total. Plus two is six.
Superb plus. Oh wait, fantastic!
Fantastic.
So you say, you know, is it your idea or you just someone else controlling this? Yeah, you can. He looks at you.
And I just stare at him.
At first, he's not sort of worried, but as you stare at him, he kind of gets unnerved, and does it look like weak blindness?
I don't know how to take that.
Well, he says it more like, does it look like we planned this? It's sort of...
No. Okay, so, with whatever shifts I might have generated...
Okay.
You can use shifts for, like, extra actions, correct?
Reduce time required, increase quality, increase subtlety.
Oh.
I see.
So, you pick up that what he was saying is that he's just sort of a lackey. That it does look like he planned this?
Well, maybe I can't. I don't know if I can do it this turn, but maybe I... I don't know.
What are you trying to...
Spirit of what I'm getting at is to be able to then say, all right, then, who are you working for?
Reduce time required. You crack him in half the time and get a chance to ask him another question.
Yeah.
He says that... I never got a full name, but one did speak like you.
Oh, I want to do one other thing here, but maybe I can invoke. Wait a minute. Yeah, that's maybe we'll try. Let's see what I'm going to ask you. Whoa!
Okay.
This is the first time we've tried this. From reading through the book, I want to invoke Hungry Like the Wolf.
Okay.
And I think that the best thing that they offer in terms of what I'm getting, to affect my change, which, by the way, is actually going to be a little bit different than what I said. Because I was reading my book and I thought, oh, this is something I've got to be able to do. So I need to make a mysteries roll.
Okay.
In order to be able to control my change. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea here is that my right hand, which is under the table, is going to turn into a wolf claw.
Okay.
And I'm going to stick my claw into his knee.
Okay.
And lean forward and ask him the name of the person who hired him. Just to see if he really doesn't know.
Okay.
So I'll make a mysteries roll. Is that acceptable?
Yeah, that'll work.
Or do you guys think that I'm doing too much in one action?
Is there a specific game rules limit on how long a round is, like it was in D&D? Is it basically however long the GM thinks it should be?
You know, as for my reading, I didn't read anything in that.
I didn't read anything about
specifics. As fast as that really would go to it, I don't see any problem with it.
My thing is that as long as nobody has a problem with where it's going,
If nothing else, we can look it up later.
Yeah. It seems like it's a continuous kind of thing.
Well, that's funny. Fair. Of course, spending hungry like the wolf. Well, no, that kind of just invokes the aspect, so I don't think it... I'm just going to go with the fair result.
Which is what, a plus two?
Yeah.
Okay, you sort of do that, and he's like, I swear, what the hell are you? He said, I don't know.
I lean back and I nod, and then I pick my right hand up, perfectly human, pull out a handkerchief, and start rubbing my glasses. Do it a little sleight of hand so that the blood that's on the end of my fingernails is underneath the handkerchief.
Did something under the table.
Okay. And I sat down across the table from the guy that you knocked down.
Yeah.
And I asked him if they were working for themselves or if they were working for someone. And got a really good success on that. And then he was like, do you think we planned this? We're working for someone, but I don't know his name. But one of them sounded like you. And then I...
Then he did a little wolf claw thing on his knee. And so the reason we do a recap is so you know, the guy had said at that moment, he goes, I swear to what,
so you would be standing
the hell
right there.
Are you?
He said, what the hell are you? Because I just lean forward and look at him, and my right hand is under the table. And I squeezed his knee with a wolf claw.
And so...
And asked him if he was really telling the truth, right?
So he's now leaning in.
But then I immediately come back up.
And his hand's
normal. And get out a handkerchief and wipe my glasses and put them back on.
So... That's what happened right there.
All right.
Then we go to you.
Which is the longest action anyone's ever taken in a role-playing game, ever. Except in every D&D game that we ever. Where all actions take that long. No, I'm sorry. Oh,
this was D&D.
At high levels. Okay.
Let me look at my spell book. I've got like 1,600 to look through here.
Where my D20 prime directive goes so I can find the like phaser stats, put it up to maximum kill rating.
The guy I disarmed, he's basically standing there with his hand.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I
keeping the sword pointed at him, I'm going to step around closer to the ones who are closing in on Townsend.
Okay.
And basically step away from him, spin around, put my sword next to, like, right on the shoulder next to one of the guys next.
Okay.
Say, surrender.
Okay, make your
weapons.
Yeah.
That is a 3. Good.
3. Okay, you were just trying to set it there, right? Mm-hmm. You actually catch his ear a little bit.
Okay.
Ah! And he's like, okay. And so, you're sort of between two of them. One of them's, you know, like, oh, crap. The other one's like, ah. So you've really caught him off guard. They're really like, why is a guy with a sword here?
There was nothing in swords in our army. No one mentioned swords.
Butter knives, maybe. Swords, no.
You fools, bring a gun to a sword fight?
Well, there's only one with a sword. There's only one with a gun.
Yes.
And you disarmed him.
I'm trying to keep an eye on him, too, if it's possible.
Okay, those two are kind of sort of tied up. The one of them with the billy club, though, that you haven't got to, does charge at Townsend. And he gets a average result.
Right. What does he have to... What does he have to... Does he beat fists or have to beat...
What is that? Well, he's using a billy club, so...
For me, in my defense...
What's he opposed?
So this is where I kept getting confused. This is part of the thing where I had read, or I read it, but I...
Mick, do you know? I'm sorry, what?
The opposed
on...
Basically, he's charging
your
me.
AC? How do you figure your AC in Satsy tones?
Using D&D terms. Oh,
everybody
I
knows
see.
Because he scored an average result.
I think
to
we're
his
using,
Townsend.
The, using the, like, the particular fighting skill in being used.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's your...
I almost said...
They're like, if you've got a bear in weapons and they need to beat that, or...
Well, the reason is, in weapons I'm average, but if I would have decided to kind of block it off with my arm, that'd probably be more fists, and I have a fair in that, and he'd miss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think my way of... because fists basically takes care of all hand-to-hand combat across the board.
Except for actual weapons.
Except for things with... And weapons are all weapons except guns.
Right.
So... yes.
Your fists would theoretically, as far as physically harmed, the attacker would use fists, guns, weapons, whatever. The defender could use fists, weapons, or athletics, possibly.
So right, why? Well, fists and athletics are the same, and they're fair.
Okay.
So that would mean he'd missed.
Okay. all right. So yeah, he comes in again, and he sort of bat him off. Then we would go to. We're down.
Actually, both of them do roll.
Oh, both of them do?
Oh, yeah, you make a defense roll
right.
based off of your athletics or your fists.
All right, I'll go with fists just to be... And
that's even more. So
he makes it a 3.
Easily.
There's no chance he hits you. The other ones that have hurting people have now sort of turned in your car to look to see you sitting across from their leader guy.
Did he get 3 higher than the difficulty than what that guy did to attack him?
No, he got one higher.
One. Okay, I'm just curious because if he get
he got two higher,
if, he got two higher.
Okay, if he had gotten three or more higher than the attack, he would have spin, which would mean the next time he attacks that guy, he'd get a plus one on it.
Right.
Which we'd never got to apply in the other games, so that's why I brought it up.
No, he got a plus two over. So okay. Almost.
So there's the guy sitting down, and there's three guys. One got clocked in the head.
Yeah, and he's sort of coming to.
And now, what are they stuffing in bags?
Well, they're not anymore. The guy that was sort of stealing stuff from his car had been clocked, and the other two had been sort of hurting the people and sort of going through collecting valuables from them. They've now stopped that in turn because there's commotion going behind them that they weren't expecting. Mm-hmm. And they see sort of this odd sort of thing.
A wolf clock. All right, so in relation to the car, there's Wolf and the leader with the gun, probably in the middle of the car, and then towards the back end, towards the bar area, there's the other three guys.
Okay. And I'm trying, and I'm doing this sort of where each minion is a box in the group.
Yeah.
I think that's how it works, I'm not sure, so.
That's one.
I mean,
I'm very fuzzy on that whole thing, too.
So, you know. You guys are halfway through them, essentially, because of how I'm working it. As you guys overcome them, I'm checking off little boxes that you guys have five, the group has four, is awesome. So what do you want to do?
All right, so he's tangled up with one, the flashlight, and there's two others then that are just sort of looking around, or what are they doing? Because we go after them.
Yeah, they're actually, one of them is actually going, there goes, so the one in there is actually turning to, and he's sort of going to start barreling down at you, because you're in front, to help his buddy. So, he rolls a zero.
So yours would be,
so
probably fist.
Yeah.
So if you get anything over one.
He got a zero. So what's a zero versus zero?
Tie goes to defender. Tie goes to PC.
Sure, why not?
We'll say that the guy you clocked sort of got in the way. So he gets to you, but he's not able to really put any weight behind it because he sort of hits both of you. And so it's like, because it's a
tight fit. The three of them are sort of in a big melee.
Yeah, they're sort of in a big bundle at the moment. So, and then the other guy is actually, you see him moving towards out the door. He's got a bag full of stuff with him.
I got
And if anybody notices, the train is still accelerating. It's moving, you can feel it sort of swaying now as it's moving faster.
I was just wondering
faster.
About that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll let you go first since you're right next to the guys.
All right. And this guy that just ran at me here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
You see him using the flashlight.
Well, no. This is not what I had in mind. I'm thinking that he's kind of getting bumbled on the other guy. But if I can keep his momentum going... These guys came in and smashed in through the windows, right?
Right.
I want to send him back out one of them.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
That would be what... athletics?
Yeah.
You say fair enough?
Or might, if you got a better might, I would let you choose whichever one was better.
Yeah. Oh, I was hoping I could use fists.
Fists?
Or
that makes sense, too, because that's hand-to-hand
or
combat.
Or wrestling. Which one is the like,
wrestling?
Wrestling with fists on fists.
All right. Because I'm busy trying to like grab and reel around, keep his momentum going, and hurl him out the window and hope that he's not...
Okay, the grabbing part was what I missed the first time.
Yeah.
That's why I went with that, because you're like, this is momentum. Olé!
Pretty much.
But this is it, but you're going...
Yeah, I'm trying to... Yeah.
All right.
No ticket.
I didn't even say that, and I'm like, no, not yet. You know, you are ex-military.
Yes, I am. So I should fight better than that. And on those other ones, I probably should have just taken plus twos, but that one was a bad enough roll that I'm going to re-roll.
Slightly better.
So it's a one right now.
Yeah.
Is there anything else?
You are two-fisted.
Yeah, I am.
That's cute. I use two fists.
Bling. I am two-fisted.
I can just see
you. And
you'll make it work.
I was thinking with the whole, you know, objects in motion tend to remain in motion, bloody blah momentum stuff. Science. Would I be able to use science school mascot to help place him right to send him sailing through the window?
I don't see why the laws of physics can't help work in your favor.
All right, so that's
a plus
one
plus
four.
Plus
so that four. Would be superb.
And I rolled his, and his was average. So you beat him by like three.
Four versus one, so that's a three.
So the next time you hit that guy, you get a plus one.
If he's still
in. He's like flying through the air right now.
if he's still in the car.
I don't think he is, though, is he?
Had you gone without the science,
mm-hmm.
you would have actually ran his head into the wall. But because you specifically positioned him from his momentum, using the mathematics that is... He is now flying through
good
the air
physics.
About 50 feet behind you because. And
so is he going towards the window or is he just going towards the back of the car?
No, he's going
he's
out,
out,
outside.
Out the window.
Okay. It was like this. It was like everything's moving.
No, this okay. is this
no, I
is,
just wanted to make sure if he was
like
actually
train.
Going out
this
of the train.
This is okay. is him.
I know.
So Stan Rocket just threw a man up a moving train.
No ticket.
Yeah.
As
he looks at the people, so that leaves
the guy trying to exit the car,
right,
and the guy that got hit in the head with a flashlight,
yeah,
right,
okay,
and but, technically the guy sitting at the table,
yeah, but I think you
or
have been taken care of with
he's
freaky
trying to,
stuff.
Trying to figure out what you are.
I took his composure out. I don't know.
Yeah, he's hard. And
he's freaked.
He's
out.
Grabbed. He's grabbed a hold of his knee.
All right. I'm going to go towards the guy that's trying to leave.
Okay.
And I'm going to pick up a dinner tray on my way over.
Okay.
And go, excuse me, sir, you seem to have missed a piece of silver. And crack him over the head with it.
Okay.
That would be a three.
A three? And you beat him by three.
Ooh.
Bong.
Kabong.
You can bong him pretty good. He's sort of halfway through the door frame, so what you actually do is you swing it through, and you connect with him, but it's more with the door
mm-hmm.
as you swing through, so he's gets closed, so the door sort of
so
slammed
he's halfway.
In on him.
He's stuck.
So you slam into the door, and you catch him sort of in the side of the head as he's like, what? And the door frame catches him here, and he's like, he's not stuck in the door because the door will just swing
he's
open.
He's stunned, and
but he's
in the
but
door.
He's like yeah he's kind of sort of like held up because the door's over there. So that's
well, since I beat him by three, I'm going to pull him back in.
Okay, that's fine.
There you go. All
right,
quick break. You guys, quick break.
Commercial break on the road.
Try a new Monkey Cola.
Monkey Cola. Bring out the ook in you.
It's got that banana rific flavor. It's all real monkey stuff.
I will make you understand.
We're the Game Master Show, the podcast for becoming a better game master. We are focused on the game master and issues the game master faces. We do this by talking about ways to improve your game, dealing with problems in and out of game, and reviewing game systems. We will have actual gameplay that you can listen to for ideas and talk about those games later to help the Game Master improve their next session. So grab your dice, set up the GM screen, and listen to us at thegamemastershow.com.
Hello, I'm Anam Fogg from International Detective Dragons from Outer Space, and I listen to the Roll Monkeys. I may not be there to play the game, but I can sure have one hell of a good time hearing it. So roll those dice, guys. I want to find out what happens next.
Yes, it's back-to-back commercial.
And as you might have missed it, the last cut commercial break.
Dragon Magazine
and
Dungeon Magazine
are going away.
I mean,
there is into crappy online versions.
A nostalgia.
See, that's the thing.
I was thinking
yeah, I didn't care about Dragon or Dungeon until today when I was like, oh,
it's also something strange that you have a online for pen and paper games.
Yeah, but
it would seem awfully strange.
Like I said, though, Pyramid did this years ago. I've had a subscription to it the whole time, pretty much, and it does a really good job with that. It comes out weekly. I don't know what Wizards thing is going to be doing, but you know, it's a weekly. Pyramid comes out weekly. It's not a so over a whole month, you probably get more content than you would in a paper magazine.
That's true.
So we'll see what happens.
All right, so back on it.
All right. Was it in the set of actions? Was it block action? Was it a preemptive defensive role? Basically, I'm going off of was it one of his new aspects? I think it's, you know, going with emotions. He's basically prepping. He knows they're going to come attack. He's going to be, you know, was it use their momentum against them?
Okay.
Was it,
so you wanting to throw them, or are you wanting to?
Was it
because if you want, because in my mind. You know, it's an ongoing attack, even though we're segmenting it.
Right.
So we're just sort of picking specific moments within it. So are you wanting to, like, catch him and throw him?
Or, yeah, you know, wherever they're you know, take where their momentum leads them, besides me. Is it they're going to attack him, you know, just kind of, you know, into what's into the
so
walls?
Well, are you using this as an attack or as a defensive maneuver?
Was it more as a defensive, because I'll let them come at me, and, you know, what's it
Well, I want to know if what I'm looking for is Are you using this to attack them in a way, even though it's a defensive maneuver, or are you using this so that on their attack it's harder to hit you, mechanically speaking?
Okay, as a attack.
Okay,
right.
That's all I needed to know. You know, so we can get to how we want to do this. So fists.
What's it?
Or do you? I'll let you use either fists or athletics, whichever.
They're in the same line. So
okay.
What's that? Four and what's that? And I will use the was that one with emotions to make it six.
Okay, so yeah, that's so in the course of this, you kind of grab the guy and sort of fling him off, and he hits. There's two open windows.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't go out a window, but the little beam between it, he hits it pretty good. So he's kind of, and so he's now laying unconscious. His arms are out the window, and his head's like up like this against the beam. So his head sort of tilts back, and he's like this. His hands are blowing in the wind. Beat you by six. Mm-hmm. So,
ouch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you go, whap! Huh? And so he's not having a good day anymore. Dr. Wolf!
Out of curiosity, how are you planning to get off the train?
He points out, he's like, well, we have our airship sort of attached to the train. It's moving with it. Or at least that's what he tells us.
Show me.
So he... He says, he sort of walks over, sticks his head out, and looks up, and there's a look of, like, sheer, utter terror on his face. So there's, what, who, what? And so, there's no airship above.
What? They lied to us! How did they lie to us, nameless goons?
Maybe the guy that threw out the window took it with him.
They stopped to pick him up.
Isn't that one of ours?
as I said, the train is moving very fast, and it's wobbly now. You can literally feel it. The landscape has sort of changed by now, and it's getting kind of rocky and mountainous.
I yell out, Rocket, you better go up to the front and figure out what's going on. I'll take care of these guys.
As soon as our turn comes around, I will.
Because you're moving fast. I mean, it's...
Yeah, okay, I'm just going to... As soon as the guy, he's like scared to death, he looks up, there's nothing there.
Right there.
Pow! I'm just going to knock him out because I've got other things to do. Or not. So that's a zero.
You have, like, you know,
that's okay.
Call in the wild or something.
Oh, yeah.
So I still popped him.
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
You were thinking you were gonna like hit him, but you just sort of. he's been under enough stress that he just sort of plummets forward.
My guts is now stop tormenting me.
So he just plop. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Even though I won't be doing this until after Stan and Captain's turns, I will probably be making my way toward the front of the train.
Okay.
But that's my focus now.
There's one unconscious guy, one guy still on Townsend,
and two guys sort of frozen in motion.
Okay. I'm basically gonna gesture to the two of them. To the nearest table. Have a seat, gentlemen.
Alright. They do actually comply. especially after seeing Townsend get... Townsend manhandled guy the way it was. They're like going, okay, we are over our heads here a little bit. Oh,
and since there's just one left, I know Townsend can handle just one guy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to spend the rest of my turn... We're in the car with sort of the aristocracy and rich folks and so on. I'm basically going to spend my time going, not to worry, ladies and gentlemen. Everything's under control. My good friend Stan Rocket, I'm certain, is attending to the difficulties in the control room at the moment, so...
Not even in the control room.
and I'll soon be coming through this compartment.
Stan Rocket is fixing the problem, right?
Pardon me?
In a moment.
Right there. Very brilliant.
As I said.
He is on his way to fix the problem.
I'm going to try to use your board to calm everybody down.
That's fine.
Oh, that's sweet.
And with a -2, I get a net 3. Good.
People are like, I mean, they're seeing how you're dealing. The situation sort of.
Well, it is.
I'm a knight of the realm. Everything is well in hand.
There really is the only one left is the one fighter. I'm
sure the French people are
and,
still.
And yeah, he he's going to swing at you again.
All right.
But he's going to fail miserably.
How miserably?
What'd you roll?
I rolled a 4.
Well, you beat me by 7.
Oh, wow.
That's spin.
That's serious spin.
On your next turn, you can, well, pretty much make him talk like a puppet. I don't know.
What's that?
Whatever you want. His hand is right. Going.
Well, the point is, he misses his character, hits him, and he's like, "Why don't you join them at the table?" As he's like,
"I mean, with something like that, he could pretty much be unconscious."
Oh no! Just fling him across the table.
Just fling him across. The table.
Or fling him toward the table. It's like, yeah, join them at the table.
So then we'll go on to you guys because we'll get back.
There's
to
still one goon left. One that he clocked in the head.
No, he's sort of.
Yeah.
He's still kind of woozy. Yeah. So I'm basically taking the battery cap end off of the flashlight to reveal the like taser part of it.
I was wondering about
stay,
that.
Stay, and I dash forward.
Okay.
So you just zod him?
No.
And then you dash forward?
I just tell him stay.
Okay, so you're intimidating.
And then
good.
All right, so you rush forward. You sort of rush past Joey
guy
who's go to the next car. All right,
so
my good friend Stan Rocker, who at this moment is in the control...
Pardon me.
Now, do we know if Dr. Wolf is good with mechanics or not? Or is he any mechanically inclined
his
at all?
His mechanical knowledge is 80 years out of date. So
yeah, I know, but...
Probably not much.
Okay.
So, yeah,
we find some 80-year-old German machinery, he might be able to help us.
He is so there.
Contraptions that are from ancient Greece or something like that, although I have this uncanny ability to get caught in little...
Hey, maybe he was looking for the Antikythera mechanism back then.
I think he was.
Maybe.
You know, I've worked with Stan Rocket before. Dr. Wolf, if you wouldn't mind looking over these gentlemen, while Stan and I try and figure out what's wrong with the train.
Actually, that is a very good idea.
And I go with Stan.
Okay.
So I've helped him out before.
So, we'll
I just thought of something.
Okay. Going
so
to
we'll go back.
Change into a wolf and eat them.
Is it,
use some salt and pepper.
Well,
there's one guy sort of left.
The one hanging out there was that window, right? Everyone else is
No, that guy is unconscious. There's the one guy that you have spin on that you can pretty much do whatever you want to with.
And he's gonna be sent herded back toward the table where it was said.
I think you could just throw him under the table.
Was said.
Because I mean, once you take care of him, which you've got Uber spin on.
Was said. One of the two empty chairs is like, no, you take a seat and just
throw him into the seat.
And throw him into the seat.
All right, just roll a fist or whatever. Right. I don't care because you beat me by 7, so you.
Still.
Yeah, one.
A one.
Like, can you plus one spin?
Yes.
Good thing you hit that.
Good thing I had spin.
That's a zero. Yeah, you still beat me. All
right.
So you throw him. So he sort of he goes at you. You sort of grab him and spin with him and throw him back. Have his seat. He sort of rockets over a table and into the chair next to the body.
Wow.
So yeah, you guys handle the menace of that. The only thing problem is the train's sort of doing this.
Yes.
It's moving very fast. Stan runs through.
Yeah.
Joey runs through. You make your way to the front of the thing, and you find the engineer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Captain.
not there.
Okay.
So,
why am I not surprised?
And there's some sparkings and stuff going on the control thing. So it looks like someone took a hammer or something heavy into it. And you see you see the track is getting shorter as there's a large turn ahead.
Oh boy, okay. Sit. Get the brake.
Make the alertness roll. I want to. There's one small one.
Okay. So I'm going and doing the brake now. The emergency.
You're the only one in that.
Three overall. Plus, so you want Joey to actually throw the emergency brake?
Well, not yet.
Okay. It's not dangerous, but you notice. You do notice something. I'll let you. What looks like a cat leaps off a chair and walks sort of out of the car.
Really?
Like it had been watching, but it leaves.
Okay.
You leap high and hit your chicks over and you chase it.
No.
And you eat it.
But I do go back to where the cat was sitting.
Okay. It was sitting like right in the it was at the first, it wasn't.
So it was actually in our car.
It was in your car, but it was at the first table at the very back end.
Okay.
Sitting, so.
Playing an odd hunch. This will be really weird for the guys. I attempt to detect the aroma I can just of imagine European finery with an underlying hint of Egyptian spices. I can just imagine this guy, after he's threatened these guys and done weird things, is now going over to the seat where this cat was and is sniffing it. Well, that's what I'm doing.
I'll tell you in a minute.
Okay.
He's intimidated.
I am at the emergency brake. The guy got knocked out. But there is a guy who's
I'm waiting for him to give me the signal to pull it. Okay, I am opening up the panel and see what's making that sparking.
And for those of you at home, Mark has chips in hand.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
He'll be clutching solutions and doing all kinds of things.
And making it work.
It looks like someone has beaten in the controls and that it's not. It doesn't look like, you know, if you hit any buttons, nothing's going to work.
Okay, should just be a matter, since it's just been beaten up, all of this stuff is still there, so it's just a matter of cludging a solution by cross-wiring the important stuff, using the stuff that definitely can't be fixed, and I'll make it work.
That's a +4 to your roll, sir.
Engineering?
Engineering, sure, that works.
Oh, okay.
That's what he does.
Oh my goodness, yes. A 12.
Oh, yes.
That's 4 over legendary.
Holy. So,
you I think you just made the Orient Express can now fly.
So here's what happened. Here's what happened.
Joey got his wish.
Here's what happened. Like, you dig into it and you start moving, you're like, all right, pull the brake. Well, Joey hadn't checked the brake. The brake, when he pulled the boat, had dislodged.
Give me that.
So the brake thing. So you pull on it, but it sort of came out, and you're like going, I don't need that. and you sort of get in there, and all of a sudden you pull something out, and the train just and so as it stops short of the turn, which would have been bad.
Yeah.
And so you sort of have cobbled. Essentially, you close the thing back, and the only thing that looks like it has ever been happened was a slight dent. Otherwise, it has been perfectly rewired. Wow. To run. So
it will give out eventually because kludging, of course, it tends to be temporary, but yeah. It should get us to our next stop at any rate.
Right.
Which where is the engineer anyway? I guess I'll have to drive it.
I'll drive.
You can always pull your car out, just hook it up.
Always
here.
Wanted to well, play with
while he does the train
with one of these.
I will investigate to see if there's
some people play with trains and some people play with trains.
Left, if the engineer,
it looked like there was a struggle and somebody could have been thrown off or something.
Okay,
these are bad men.
I'm going to look for any signs like cat hairs or anything.
No. Just to pick a random example.
Yes, random, completely random example.
I mean, you're thinking spiders, even maybe
I shall use investigate.
Okay.
What's up with animals?
Excellent. A1.
You spiders and I would get cats.
You know that there is nothing to be found here that is not already seen.
Okay.
I think I wanted to know about that.
I'm going to go from car to car. Talking to people and calming everyone down. And
all right,
I'm going to walk back into the bar area where everyone else is and go, "It's all right, ladies and gentlemen. Stan Rocket and Captain Joey Shade have saved the day." And I am using Cock of the Walk and Rapport.
Okay.
To put everyone at ease. That's still a three.
everyone from his earlier rapport and your rapport, everyone is now fairly calm and back to normal.
We know. Sir Nathan already told us.
Except for the
bad guys.
Who are sitting, probably now tied to the chairs at the table.
I'll just be like, take turns swinging at the miscreants.
who at the next stop would be escorted off by the authority.
Who said,
hit them with a large bag of money.
They really, in the interrogation, they really don't know what they were just said. Mm-hmm. That they didn't even know that the train was going to be demolished.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, this was all set up.
We're just here to steal stuff.
Yes, you'll want to check the engine.
So,
come back to the dining car, then I'm just sitting there at my table finishing my steak with a wooden handled steel knife.
Or just eating it. This is like,
well, I'll take that risk. I thought about that, but I was like, yeah, perhaps not. So I'm going to be
the wolfy monster.
After it's cut in strips, it can go. It's beef jerky. It's steak jerky.
So the rest of the train ride would go pretty.
I'm sure that everything has gone back to normal.
Fairly back to normal.
Except for the goons that are now probably in one of the storage cars.
Well, they
were escorted out.
At one of the stops.
No, but I mean, before we get to the next stop.
What about the cat?
The cat, you don't see any sign of the cat.
What did I smell?
Yes, you sniffed
in the place the cat was sitting. Yeah.
You do get, there isn't any sort of European scent there, but you do get sort of a, trying to think of the type of cat.
Is it a European cat?
No, it's an Egyptian cat.
Yeah, best. Best-like cat, yes.
And so,
which I would have noticed.
You would have
because,
noticed.
Because
your archaeology
with a specialization in ancient Mediterranean cultures.
Yeah, it would have been. I don't know the. I don't really know the breed of cat.
I know what you mean. But he's a black cat.
I don't think it's
Siamese or
not Siamese, but it's
it doesn't
similar.
Matter. It's that it's the right kind of cat.
I can't remember what an Egyptian hairless cat is called.
Yeah, it's one of those.
But I'm sure it didn't look like a big rat.
No, it's a sphinx. Egyptian hairless cat.
Is it a sphinx? Okay, that's what I thought. I wasn't sure.
Okay,
yeah. People thought I was joking. I mean, sphinx is really.
So everything kind of calms down for the rest of the trip.
I want to look in my books,
mm-hmm.
which of course I have with me in my suitcase.
Of course,
because I'm the brilliant pulp archaeologist.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You didn't bring any extra clothes, but you have plenty of books.
Surprise me. Well, I think I would have prepared because we knew about this before we got on the train. Ruby.
Mm-hmm.
So, what did you call it? The eye of Osiris,
Osiris.
The heart of Osiris. Doing a little research on the heart of Osiris.
The heart of Osiris, you discover, is
it's a part of a set.
No, it is supposedly if the heart of Osiris was a the story goes the heart of Osiris was an arcane object It held great power because it held the essence of Osiris. And that it supposedly gave the high priest the ability to control the dead. As Osiris is the gateway or the gatekeeper of the dead, those who controlled it were granted the powers of Osiris, granted his blessing and gave them additional sort of powers over the dead. It doesn't go into much detail on that. It was supposed to have been it was lost in the history annals, and it is linked very strongly with Osiris and with I think Bast was his daughter in the Egyptian mythology or something. So it is linked with her and with Osiris, and there's a couple other little myths that go along with it, but that's the general gist of what it is. And it's supposed to be used to usher Osiris back, essentially.
I wonder if more than likely, considering that this is what I do, I would have been able to tell you that. I would have said what he just said. Mm-hmm. That would have been what I told all of you, okay. Like 5 seconds okay. after the word came out of the guy right. was written on the invitation. Mm-hmm. Oh, the heart of Osiris, which of course you may know is all the stuff he said. Mick almost could have guessed that part. So yes, but is there so any research that I would do beyond that would be like if there's any deeper arcane knowledge that even I would have overlooked in my studies. I don't know if I'll find anything, but
there's not really much.
There's not much. That's all there is. That's all you need to know.
It's really all.
Come on, control the dead, dude. What's the problem?
I bet the dead don't do
anything. It's a ruby that controls the dead.
That's how they're able to vote in elections.
So if is there anything else anybody wants to check in, do real quick before.
Nope.
All right. So it is in classic pulp. You're there.
Ah, Cairo.
Now, I know I need to do better with it, handing out fate chips for tagging aspects, but I'm still sort of learning that.
Stan and I are not quite as depleted as...
Well, Stan is.
Yeah, you're kind of depleted, aren't you?
But I can just arbitrarily award them to people, can I?
Well, of course you can. Yeah.
So I'll probably do that.
For doing what comes naturally to them, or you know, for playing their aspects or what have you. Mm-hmm.
For doing what we would have done anywhere.
I don't know this, and you didn't declare it, but if perhaps someone's nemesis did in fact have anything to do with sabotaging the train, he would get a fate chip for that.
Yes, he would.
I guess not.
It was a nice try.
I don't know. You would get one.
Aha!
For that, let's see here. I'm actually going to give you a second one because we'll say that if you want it, that to get the train from where you were to the first stop, you did hook your motor car up to it.
Cool.
because I said that it converted the tires so it would be in transit and towed along, so.
We'll towed the Orient Express with the rocket car.
Yes.
So we'll do that, and I'll try to get some more out to other people. So you're in Cairo. Everything is kind of getting their evening to the where the gala is going to be held. Mm-hmm. The museum is big and beautiful. It really is. It's a very nicely laid out sort of display. You go up the steps to the main entrance, the main lobby, and there's a short, squat, heavyset guy standing there greeting everyone. Mm-hmm. And he looks like if you stare at him too long, he would fold up in an armadillo shell. I mean, he's nervous. He's just like, and so when you come up, especially with you, he's like, oh. He's like, you must be Dr. Wolf. You know, he says in more of an Egyptian accent that I can't do. He's like, I am, he says, I'm the curator here. You may call me Horace. He says, my name.
Did you say Horace? Woo! Okay.
I'm trying to...
Cool, fine. I'll shake his hand and take note of what he said his name was.
He's like, it's wonderful that you were able to be here. I recognize you instantly when you're like,
well, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Definitely.
Oh my God.
Never mind. On Sprocket's Henry Dance.
This is the time on Sprocket's Henry Dance.
Is that where you got your practice in? For
yes, exactly.
Oh my God.
Actually, my grandmother talked like this, so I grew up with this accent. It's a little bit easier to pull down.
She talked like Dana Carey? Or Dana Carvey? Or
that would have been Mike Myers. But yes, she basically did.
It was Mike Myers.
Oh, it was Mike Myers.
As one of those
today on Sprockets. And so he's like, thank you so much for coming. I was hoping you'd make it. We definitely sent the Century Club the invitations specifically because of you.
I am honored by your regard.
You know, please, you know, help yourself. It is a gala night. We are so excited for this.
I intend to thank you.
So excited.
This is a change that comes over Wolf. Not that change.
His name is Horace Duval.
Horace
Duval.
Duval. Okay.
By the way, I got stuck at names.
That's cool. just in the sense that I have walked into the first place in my 8 months of being alive in this century where I feel very comfortable and at ease and at home. So,
because there's some things here that are as old as you.
Exactly. And I know this stuff. And I probably will become an insufferable bore for any of you who are hanging here, because I will be literally being the guy who's like, oh, this is a fit, you know, I'm just going off.
3 hours later, we get to the end of the hallway.
Exactly. So I won't belabor that. But yes. To the point where anybody is trying to like, okay, can we move on? I'm standing here going, okay, and this is if you just, you know, and just
right.
going and off on all this stuff.
You know, there are some, you know, some of the people that were on the front that are also who also came to the gala.
Is Lily here?
You do see her, and she is sort of, she's sort of watching, looking, sort of. She looks like she feels out of place. But she, you know, she's sort of there. It's a gala, so it's more of a party than an actual tour. There are people there.
Which is why I'm treating it like a tour and not a party.
Exactly. And so you know.
But as I notice Lily, I'm going to ask someone to get her a glass of white wine.
Okay.
The minister's discovered in the get her some wine.
White wine.
We want her good and drunk.
Because he wants to get no better as a person.
And so she wants her mind to take a hike, so he can go, ooh.
So,
it ain't like that.
Yeah. So, you know, you guys are probably hobnobbing with the more rich and famous.
Well, I am.
You are.
I'm hobnobbing with the pretty rich ladies.
And there are a few of those. Most of them somewhat bored because they're here.
I shall make them unbored.
Actually,
they might have like a couple of ancient contraptions that were way ahead of their time, you know.
Right.
If I think that Stan would be interested in those, I would call him over and say, "Now this thing is amazing because you can. This was created in 3000 BC, but what it was able to do is
a gumball machine."
You turn this knob and it gives you tiny chewy candy.
I was trying to figure out a Pez dispenser joke there. Big
room. But back then it was probably considered medicinal.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have a
little wood thing with the rock
dispenser with the typical King Tut type head on.
Yeah.
I assume we've already been told that the heart of Osiris is not going to be unveiled until this evening or something like that.
Yeah,
it's not available for us to go look at right
not,
now.
Not just yet. It's sort of on display right now, but they have it draped, and there's heavy security and there's all kinds of things going on. There is, as I said, it's a party, and everybody's having drinks and having some food. You know, you guys are welcome to mingle. You know, anybody who wants to, the archaeologist who found the heart is there. And he's all pompous and British. No offense to any of your British.
I'll have to grill him.
If it comes down to it, you're allowed to destroy this one.
Okay. You might make that comment. All right.
Some of the people around you kind of give you strange looks at that comment.
Long story. All
right. And so, so yeah, and he, you know, that's right. The archaeologist's name is Paddington Merriweather.
Paddington Merriweather.
And so he's insufferably stuck in himself for finding this lost artifact. You know, he anybody who asks him, he's like, well, you know, we were up in the north part of north of Cairo, and we were digging around, and we discovered it in a temple, in a buried temple of Tabast. It was just the oddest thing, you know. The legend states that it is actually in the Temple of Lost Souls, but it's not. The Temple of Lost Souls is not a vast temple, we know that. And he goes on and you know, talking about how he found it and how they excavated it and going into detail. Something you might find somewhat interesting.
Yeah, somewhat. He's giving him this look. Yeah.
You know,
In terms of keeping the cards close to the vest, I'm being deferential and respectful to this mm-hmm. guy, but processing everything that's coming out of his mouth.
Yeah, he, I mean, you can tell he's kind of overstating his importance, you know, because, you know, how these things actually
look into the archway,
and you know, and, mm-hmm. You know, more than likely he was like, what did you guys find? Oh, yeah, I see, I found the, and, you know, he's, you know, he's going on about how you know first he thought it was just any other large gem, and but you know the okay. definitive proof was the engraved,
the glowing block sphere inside of it
that's on yeah. one side. It's kind of the ruby. The only flaw in the ruby that is, and this is something you would have known from the books, is that it's cut perfectly except for on one side it's flat, or more flat than the other side, and there is the it's an ankh, but it's not really carved, but it's part of the side. It's
pressed into it, but not
carved in it. Yeah. It's almost like it was engraved, but yet it wasn't cut.
Yeah.
Which you know is odd for any gem. So it was really, you know, but that, you know, that, and that's what they, you know, they're like, well, we thought it was when we expected it, we found that, so it had to be this.
So when will we be able to see it?
He's like, well, Horace wants to make it a big deal, and so it should be. He kind of looks around. It should be any minute now.
I wonder if it would be possible to arrange a tour of the temple where you found it.
He says, oh, he'd probably do that. That's, you know, definitely not a problem. He's like, you know, it's just a couple of miles north of the city, which, you know, was we stumbled across. We were looking for something else, and we came across
the... They were looking for shoes.
We're looking for Lost Sandwich, actually. Mm,
perhaps we can talk about that later.
Ah, the sandwich is set.
You wanted this. And so he, so
right about now, he needs a sandwich.
Do you believe they call it Hello Kitty?
It's, right about now, the horse kind of goes up on in front of the thing. All right, we will now have the unveiling. Everyone, please gather around. So, you know, he sort of pulls off the drapery, and there it is in all its glory. Big red ruby. A little light shine, a little halo. And, you know, it's beautiful to look at.
Does it have the ankh side facing everyone?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
And you can see it's well, if you looked at it, you'd swear it was engraved, mm-hmm. but you're able to get a little closer, but it doesn't look like anything that you have or any kind of tools that you currently have available would be able to engrave the perfection that is there. So it's almost as if it formed naturally.
Okay.
It does have, there is a light glow to it, which is kind of odd, but you can't really tell if it's from the lighting or whatnot, but there's sort of an aura about it. that it emanates from about.
You study it very meticulously from several sides and angles for a few moments, and
give it a good sniff.
I want to. I want to do an academics role.
Okay.
Just to see if, based on everything that I've read about it and heard about it, if I believe it is authentic.
Okay.
I mean, you know, just in a pulpy.
Sure. Yeah. Whoops. Because, of course, you're leery about it. You're going, couldn't find this.
Let's see. That's 1, 5, 6, 7, 8.
That's positively legendary.
Yes, that is a. Yes, it is, for all intents and purposes, best that you can tell from everything you know about it, this is the real deal. This is the heart of Osiris.
Hmm. Impressive.
Everybody's really impressive.
I'm gonna look back short. Looking around at what said.
How do I do an etching like that?
The crowd see if I'm gonna say someone's ready to pounce. It's always in that.
Oh, you're looking to see if somebody's ready to steal it.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Now that's been unveiled.
It's been unveiled. That's what people love to do. That's what happens.
I was thinking the same thing.
So you're just waiting for me to go. You're just waiting for me to go. The door gets busted open, and there's five guys with machine guns.
That's what.
Or ninjas.
Ninjas are always cool.
Pirate ninjas. Characters just sort of exchange a glance across the room, like, well, where's the other shoe?
And there's that was it.
Throwing iPads.
The other shoe kind of dropping kind of aspect to it.
All right.
I'm always tense.
You're making a learn this role.
Three. And I'm gonna tell you, so people are like books. This is this is the kind of period where people start to, going, ooh, let's try to make that big splash.
Yeah, looking around, if you see people tense up, but it's not people ready to pounce. It's the security. They are ready and waiting. All
right,
they're having the same thoughts we are.
Guys are on the same page, same book. Maybe not the same paragraph, but they're all looking.
Where is
you
Lily
do notice set? Though. You know, because you're looking around specifically, that Lily is not part of the group necessarily. She's kind of in the back, off to her side a little bit. Not like she's ready to pounce, but like the interest level really isn't there, so to speak.
Ancient magical artifact.
It's a little.
Not so much that, but almost like she's like, yeah, okay.
Just shows no interest.
Right. But it's like. She's just like, oop. I'm trying to. And so the gala sort of happens. And it sort of winds down after time. People are kind of looking at it. People are looking at some of the other artifacts and stuff.
She never goes back towards the artifact. She just kind of stays off in the.
Yeah, she sort of stays off, sort of watching and sort of watching everything. She does glance, and you do notice she is paying attention to the ruby, but she's trying to look like she's not.
Right. Oh, I have to. Okay. I'll slowly walk into her direction.
Okay.
Get to ask me. It's like, not that interesting?
She says, well, a woman and a ruby, but I know it is what it is, so I am here really only because of the invitation my husband had gotten since he had passed, that I would do well to make an appearance for him.
Mm. After I killed him.
No. Was that, did we get a last name for her? Was it?
Lily Bissett.
Bissett. All right.
Once I started studying it, I have completely become immersed and lost in staring into this thing, and time falls away, and the party goes on, and everybody else moves around.
So you get that tunnel vision
effect. Standing there staring at this thing, just thinking, but not paying attention to nothing.
So the guards
else.
Are probably looking at you.
Yeah, maybe they are.
He's staring really intently at that damn jewel.
From a respectful distance. I'm not, leaning over.
Yeah, but still, you're just glaring at it going,
Well, no, I'm just kind of,
You don't think you're glaring at it, but to the people who are watching you.
Yeah, you're intently studying.
So,
formulating something.
Who cares about a party when there's this thing?
So the party kind of winds down, and Horace actually comes up to you. You're kind of lost in it, and he sort of says, Dr. Wu,
Yes.
It is getting late. He says, if you'll excuse me, I must return the ruby to the safe. We don't want to have it on display completely overnight. We must want to remove it. So,
certainly.
So you see him sort of, collect the ruby. The security sort of watches him, and he's a curator. And so he picks it up, he kind of wraps it up, and he carries it over to a small room off to the side. And where you guys had been, sort of this is kind of a second level of the museum. Mm-hmm. So he's off to in a small office kind of thing where, they have like a safe over that they store some of the more precious metal, mm-hmm. precious items. They try to keep some of these things safe until they have permanent structures mm-hmm. for display. Mm-hmm. I would say everyone needs an alertness roll, but you're going to hear it.
we all get one and automatically make it.
Yeah. Within a few minutes, you hear what sounds like an explosion and a flash of light from that general room. And you hear kind of an... or more of a...
What was that again? All right, well, go running toward that.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So you sort of burst into the room, all of you, I'm guessing.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And what you see is there's the room's a little charred. You see Horace unconscious over to the side. And the window and shutters are open. And they're sort of like wide open. And you run out to look out and you see what looks like a familiar person. A familiar German person.
Uh-oh.
And he is ducking into a car with a bundle. And if you look below, your Dan's rocket car is right below. As he is in a car.
Oh, yes. Who's joining me? Jumping out, getting into the car.
I'm in.
Don't make me ride in that contraption.
Actually, had this thought that vehicle, considering this is probably the first one of its type that you encountered way back in 1840, that's probably one of the reasons why you're nervous about
the car back with you.
Probably.
Oh, wow.
Well, you have to bring it up to 88 miles per hour
to be able to go back.
Yeah. I know. It's true. He could have brought it back with him. Yes.
Yeah, unless he.
And that's probably one of the reasons why Dr. Wolf is.
Well, there is that. Yes.
Okay, so this is sort of where. Because this is one of the things I was reading, I was like, we have to have a car chase. So he gets into a car and...
How many people can fit in your car? I think you just said two, or... No, we were all in it before.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wasn't on it.
Well, you can get three in the back if you all squeeze in.
Yeah.
But please hurry.
And don't press that red button.
Candy color.
Yes, don't press the jolly candy light button.
Those are great big buttons that make things worse and the little tiny buttons that make things better.
Dan should get a chip for monkey wrench being in the scene.
Yeah, he does. Okay, so...
And theoretically you might offer me a chip not to ride in the car. But
not
I would
ride in the car?
He would offer me a chip if I refused to ride in the car.
Yeah, because the man out of time.
I don't want to ride in any kind of a modern vehicle. A plane.
I don't want to ride, so I would offer that to you.
But I'm going to spend it in order to overcome my distaste for it in this particular case.
Okay,
so I guess
even though I could use a few chips, I think I'll spend it so that I can get in on the car chase. It sounds fun.
Participate. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I'm a little nervous and flustered.
Yes.
Especially since I'm squeezed in the middle of the back seat between the two of you.
I'm just trying to get the
British
drive
guys
out.
Or maybe
so
the
basically,
American.
How this works is I am the chased and you are the chasee. All
right.
How this works is I will.
Every
I
time he swerves around a corner at 150 miles an hour, I'm going to be like, I'm not going to throw up. I'm not going to throw up.
I say, Walt, your claws seem to be digging into my leg quite deeply
so,
there.
Watch the upholstery.
Careful, man. These trousers cost more than your education.
I hope not.
Yeah. This kind of agitated state is not good for my self-control.
Okay, so initially, the car takes off. You know, the driver of the car in front of you steps on it, and it gets a fair distance as you get down and get into your car.
Yeah.
And you get in, and you go. You're going to catch up.
the Batmobile over here.
So you catch up with him pretty quickly, but immediately.
That's right by.
he makes a very difficult right turn, and we're going to set the difficulty at. At good. And
good is where it stays.
And I don't necessarily make it, but he makes a quick turn, but he catches kind of the corner of the building, and so he makes a turn, but his car sort of pops out a little bit.
Yeah.
So you need to make a good drive test.
Done. Will great work?
Great will work.
Ooh,
so he kind of good. Pops out, and you and you easily make it. You easily make it, and sort of bump the lead car a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, but it sort of sputters out in front.
I can see it now. You're back there going, slow down.
Well, I'm probably going, you know, this reminds me of the time when I was in a dug fight.
Do any of you want to do anything to help stop the car in front of you that is with it?
It
would be nice. Like shooting at it or something.
Well, in car chases, the passengers can either help the driver by you know, saying, look out, watch out, and then that gives them bonuses, or you can shoot at it, throw stuff, whatever, to try to hinder it and cause damage to it, especially if you're shooting at it. You are trying to not lose your lunch, so there's not a lot. So you can sit there and just wait, or you can try to do whatever you want to. And
I've suddenly become comic relief for this scene, so I'll take that role and run with it.
You know, shouting warnings is one thing, but constantly shouting, watch out, watch out, watch out, watch out, watch out,
doesn't really help.
Well, I mean, you would do it in the course of...
Yeah, I'm just saying for his character.
Yeah.
No!
Don't do that.
Oh my God.
Well, you know, the Fang of a Rock, it's kind of magic.
Right.
I'm going to see if I can remember the words that the old shaman taught me correctly when he taught me the magic of the distant strike. And basically, if I could pull this off, I would basically draw the sword and stab with it, and the point will appear next to one of the tires of the car ahead of us. I'm basically trying to stab a tire.
Cool.
Okay.
I'm spending this to invoke its kind of magic.
Okay.
It'll probably be a mysteries roll.
Yeah.
To see if I can pull it off.
Yeah, I think anything that's magical takes a mysteries roll. Or supernatural.
And that gives me...
Whoa!
Six.
Six. You're like, I think it's...
Come on!
You hear him go, and you see the tire go...
Screech!
But he holds it. He doesn't run up the side. You see the car go...
I say, Sir Appleby, that's a new maneuver.
I wasn't sure it would work.
And so you see him sort of go. He makes another quick left, this time onto a side street.
Quick left with a blown tire.
Well, because he blew out the right tire, so he can only make left turns. So he's going to, again, attempt a good attack, and, well... He makes a quick turn, but he runs through it's a closed,
like a bazaar
stand?
A fruit stand. Yeah. It's got to be a fruit stand.
Turns to a fruit stand, and just right through it, fruit goes everywhere. And he's still going, but you can see the car's, like, dented now, pretty bad.
Say, does this car have a turret?
I should add, actually...
You can press a button and there will be one!
What I'm looking for is seeing... As I know I've got things that I have to be preset, but I'm trying to remember if I have...
You have a universal gadget, so you have the ability to...
But I've already defined both aspects of the universal gadget.
I thought you had one for the car and one for the...
Well, the prototype car is the... Is the car, and it has some option aspects to it, but...
He's looking that up right now.
I want to make sure that I...
If nothing else, you can probably hang out
like
a window.
Free ones to.
Mm-hmm. More pulpy.
I mean, because Joey's got a gun.
It's true.
I always have a gun.
But oddly enough, I, for some reason, I thought that weapons skill was for gun as well, and I have no gun skill. But I always have a gun.
He just carries it because it's cool.
Well, I mean, you
hell yeah.
You
could switch it out.
You still have skills that are undefined.
This is true.
Yeah.
When the moment calls for it, I may decide which blank to put in a gun skill.
This may be one of those moments. Not the word for it yet.
Not this moment, but it has a high ranking possibility.
What's it? Was it that reckless driving car was still not because they were profiled? You were stopping everyone who was driving on that sidewalk.
Yes, he's driving on whatever. Yeah, all right, Fairland Troop is our.
I can spend a fate point to give it a once a session special thing in addition to my permanent.
That's what
my
I thought it was something like that. Okay.
So, let's see. What would be useful for this?
A net.
No. A grappling hook.
That's what I was
thinking. Oh, boy, yeah.
Now, what would I use to hit with this?
I would say since it's part of the car drive.
Yeah, I could go through.
Because you're using the car to aim.
But it's my motor car. And I know it better than that.
Yes, indeed.
Don't I?
That's good advice. Well,
what in the world?
Apparently not.
He hasn't quite perfected the grappling hook.
What's
the
grappling tool at? Great.
Great. Which puts it at what, plus one?
At average.
Average.
Yeah.
Average.
Oh, man. That's bad as that, right? Can always make it work.
Well, I mean...
True. It's your car.
Well, I'll say that, I mean, he hasn't been driving all that well. I with a one, I'd say you sort of catch it a little bit. It sort of catches
aside.
It's not something like it's not a very secure
out.
Catch.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not necessarily gonna. I mean, you know, it you hit it.
Okay. If it's not as secure though, let me see. I'm trying to think of when we. No, I'll work it in next round when.
Okay. All right.
So now we're sort of hooked to it.
Yeah. And driving along. Does anybody want to do anything?
No, I really can't. I don't have a gun. He has a gun, but what's it?
Borrow his gun.
You don't have a gun?
The character's
in
the
have a fly jacket.
So it's gonna make another right turn in hopes to lose it, another good attempt. And that's so
I'm just sort of trying to hold on right now.
So yeah,
it's gotten a little wild.
he's all over this.
Even in a plane, he's strapped in. I'm not quite strapped in.
He forgets he can't make right turns very easily, so his car sort of skids and bangs into a building. It's looking pretty bad. You haven't really done anything to it, but it's probably gonna stop here in a minute.
Alright. Well, the timing will be about right anyway. So, alright, let's see if I make sure I can get stay behind him.
Oh, yeah.
That's superb.
Superb. Yeah, you sort of knock the car off its track, and it sort of spins and stops.
All right. Screech! Flashlight of doom being pointed out at the car, waiting for someone to get out of it.
I think Dr. Wolf's probably already out of this.
I'm scrambling out of the rocket car as soon as I can possibly do it. Yeah, let me out of here.
So Heinrich is sort
of jumping out and
gets out, and he's like, should I
have a better car? Net angle this time.
Yes. I'll say that, you know, and he's not really fighting at the moment, so you net him.
I'm sure what's it Wolf and probably I am basically looking for the ruby in the car.
You look in the car. Now it had taken you a minute to get out and get over there.
Sure.
And Heinrich had gotten out without his stuff. And you look in the car and there's no ruby. Make an alertness roll.
Mm-hmm.
bear.
Five.
Oh, superb.
Everyone, superb.
Not good. Me. Just don't good. Even bother.
Bear, although I said I don't know if they've used this thing quick on you.
Being a good. A prodigy and knowing that we're looking for the ruby, I'll have an idea of what I should be looking for.
Okay, for fair enough.
To make it great.
Okay. You all notice, sitting on a windowsill, familiar to you, Egyptian cat. And it sort of hops down and goes into an alleyway.
Is there a driver, or is there just...
There's a driver. He's unconscious. On right. Okay. He took the beating of the life.
Yeah.
And
because I'm make sure
you notice there's a small bludgeoning wound on the back of his head, too, because,
I'm going to make sure that I'm keeping my
Heinrich
eye on that.
Was like...
Yeah, Heinrich.
Driver?
Well, I kind of need to follow the cat.
You can follow the cat. I'm going to keep an eye on Heinrich here.
I'll help you with the cat.
I'm keeping an eye on the surroundings, making
okay.
sure...
Okay.
Are you going to go cookie crisp and follow after it?
No, I'm just going to follow the cat.
You know, follow the cat?
I understand what you're suggesting.
You know.
there's follow and there's follow.
He's going to follow.
You can follow your cat. You just can't follow your cat.
Exactly. Right. So you go...
As the background music, as the background music changes to Atomic Dog.
So you go in down the alleyway.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a tight alleyway, kind of some shadows. And you walk down about halfway. You don't see a cat, but you hear a familiar voice from a doorway behind you. This is good evening, Dr. Wolf.
Good evening, Mrs. Bassett.
Says, you and yours have done well. Says, as I knew you would. Says, trust that what was discovered does not need to be, and it is being returned to where it should be.
I can accept that outcome.
And there's silence.
We bust in and shoot.
I turn back around.
I'm probably following him. So, what's that? I follow. Wolf.
Okay. Well, you follow him. You saw Dr. Wolf stop in front of you, and you don't hear anything, but you hear him mutter something.
Can you read his lips?
You were behind him.
You were behind him.
All right.
He's very good.
You see the skin on the jaw. Yeah. Works at a
so,
way.
So you
off the reflection from that window way over there.
Actually, when you said you accept it, there's one line that is said as he's approaching. He says, mm-hmm. "Till again, brother." You hear that, and then if you turn to look, you don't see anything anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ah, Mr. York. Mm-hmm. I believe this has played out as much as we are going to be able to accomplish it.
I'm sure that Rocket and I are still with Monkey Wrench. Give it up, Monkey Wrench. Where's the jewel?
Looks like it should be, right?
Don't play coy with me. Smack.
That's my job.
Smack. Oh, really sorry, Stan.
Oh. But it was right here.
A likely story.
Come along, Townsend.
All right.
Let's see if Stan can have a good day.
Stan's probably buying drinks.
Continue to have a good day.
And so...
Okay. It would probably be out of character, but I'd probably be like, Stan, do you mind if I take a look at this? I'm looking at the flashlight.
Oh, sure.
I
guess I just realized, since you hadn't seen the cat before, and I didn't say anything,
right.
I just dashed off down the alleyway. Right. You didn't know that I was following a cat. And then all of a sudden, you hear me standing in an alley, and I'm... You can't hear it, and that probably frustrates the hell out of Townsend York, because you're Townsend York. So I don't know how you're responding to me at this point, but that's... that's the situation.
You'll have to explain to me what just happened one of these days.
Okay. I just smile.
And so, Another adventure. So Centurion.
Our second ever one night one shot.
Yeah.
It's about
10
hours.
Yeah,
that's
fine.
Yeah.
And don't forget your phone.
Yeah.
All right.
I actually have a dinner in the trunk. Hopefully it has not thawed out. I'm sort of banking on the cold weather.
Wow, that was cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was.
Hope you guys did enjoy that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very much. Thank you very much.
I actually had there was a third part that was an optional part if we had gotten to it where the ending was going to be a little this part was going to set up that but I had it written in parts that we could end it with because I actually had a whole temple scene with mummies and things.
Thus concludes another exciting adventure of the Century Club.
If nothing else, if we all make it to a Gen Con.
We'll do this again,
yeah.
We'll have to have a follow-up.
And, you know, well, I don't know. I was just thinking that both Mark and Mick could co-GM and really mix things up.
Oh, wow.
But,
Do I have your permission to use Mrs. Bassett in future adventures?
You do.
All right. If you want to provide me with some information about what you had in mind for it, or if you don't, either way.
Just
email me sometime or whatever.
I don't mind telling you the whole of it. I think you can sort of gather.
I got the impression that she's a shape changer.
Yes.
No, that's completely false.
What were you doing, Dr. Wolf? Oh, just chasing after some pussy.
Oh, but I'm cheating.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's safe to say that.
As we fade, you hear Joey go, "You know, Dr. Wolf, you and I aren't so much different." Yay.
And I do think that Stan has kind of redeemed himself here.
Heck yeah.
This was a good one for Stan. I tried to give everybody a moment to shine. And at least somewhat, but it was obvious I focused on these two.
Yeah. I'll keep your stuff.
Chris makes the changes and all
that. I don't know how much we're going to get to play in.
I know that there's been talk of me doing something with it, although whether I do this or go with it with some other concept, I don't know, but I could probably come up with something. So, and that being the general idea with this anyway, and anyone else has ideas on it, that didn't you see? You got an idea on
this? I've got an adventure in mind for it. Mm-hmm. I've got to obviously get a copy of the rule book and put it together, but I've got the basic idea in mind.
Whenever you get to it, White Knight, awesome.
It's already out.
Oh, yeah. I'm like...
Thanks for listening to The Roll Monkey, starring Clay Carwan, Mark Kinney, Max Massey, Chris Heim, and me. I'm Mick Bradley. We appreciate you joining us. Thanks to Anim5 for his great bumpers and promos. Music for the show is from the Podsafe Music Network. It's called Pod Theme by Intellect. To find out more about The Roll Monkeys by visiting harpingmonkey.com, and also encourage you to visit allgamesconsidered.blogspot.com. See you next week.